your mind. I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Give it a bean.
Can anyone smell that?
Ralph the host, I was thinking, like, God, this guy's a little bit of a tool at first.
Yeah, that's it. Watch that.
Can anyone smell that?
Well, you know, you
our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
Can I ask you a question that you can't answer?
Hey, everybody, what's up with Kevin? I've been a big fan, long time him.
Hey, want to party on my
And now.
That's a very rude thing to say, Kevin.
Our feature presentation.
Well, what are you going to do? Sometimes you got to be rude, you know?
Sure, of course.
When you're tracking down Poon. All right, 5:31. Good morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, and it's the 31st of May I See Them?
Boobs.
Oh, I'm going to be sad to see May I See Them go. It's one of my favorite months of the whole year.
You did it. 31 days.
Yep.
And by the way, 31 days of asking Lisa, May I See Them? Not once have we seen them. How bogus is that?
Well, you didn't ask in the right way.
The right way. Let me think. The right way.
With cash in your hand?
Oh,
with cash. Okay. Fantastic. If that's all it takes. Hang on. Let me see what
Wait,
I got.
How much you got?
$1, $2.
Ooh, yeah, you're out of the game.
Not even in the ballpark.
He's got $100.
I have 100.
I scoff.
Oh,
I scoff at $100.
I can't go higher than that.
Well, then.
What if we had a knife
in our
hand?
We'll try again.
What?
A knife? So
what if we had a knife in our hand? Does that change things?
What the hell are you talking about?
Why does it have
to, go there?
May I see them or I'll cut you? Does that change it?
No.
Oh, okay.
What's wrong with you?
That is not sexy. We're not going to say that.
It could be effective, though.
A knife.
Mike, you are so sick and twisted.
Oh, man.
This just went so south.
That sure did. It was all sexy and fun.
We were negotiating.
We're all having a good time. We were getting close to seeing some skin, and now Lisa's dead. Now she's bleeding.
We're running out of cash. I mean, her standards financially.
Yeah, but you don't go from, I'm not sure that's enough, to knife. You know, maybe there's a little in between, a little give and take.
Trying to weigh out our options, you know what I'm saying?
A lot of people don't realize this, and it's not... It's not a popular viewpoint, but Mike is for violence against women. You won't find many people to go out on the record and say that, but Mike believes in that as a modus operandi.
I'm going to say knife not an option. That's what I'm going to say.
I'm not for violence against women, but sometimes violence can be an effective adjunct into getting, you know, what you're
What you're saying
for.
Is you don't rule out the possibility.
Exactly. Look, I have an open mind.
Everything's on the table, right?
Open mind.
Well, take the knife off the table, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Well, that's just ugly.
Anyway, I'm a green belt.
That's right.
I would just end up stabbing you.
She'll take that knife and turn it right on you.
Oh, yeah.
If I was a chocolate bar, Lisa would ruin me.
Well, not if you were a chocolate bar, you would win.
That's right.
Yeah, chocolate bar rules.
Lisa tried to karate chop a chocolate bar in the office and broke her
hand. Pretty much broke my hand. I did go have an x-ray.
I could break that candy bar in two. All right, here you go.
It was 10 pounds. Let's not forget.
Here's the candy bar. Go ahead. Oh, shoot. In a lot of pain.
It still hurts when the weather turns. I think I've ruined me for life.
Really?
I swear to God.
It's a lifetime sports injury now?
When it gets cold, you can feel...
Yes.
Oh, the chocolate wrecked you.
For life. This is sad. I'm going to have arthritis when I'm old in that hand. It's going to be because of that goddamn chocolate bar.
She's going to be telling her grandkids someday, you know? Oh, yeah. Grandma's hand hurts because she tried to karate chop a chocolate bar. And lost.
It's the most ridiculous injury ever.
You know, if you'd have had Mike's knife around, you wouldn't have had to karate chop it. You could have just used the knife to cut the bar. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. Wow.
Now we come full circle.
You need to change that story. You cannot tell people.
I think you're right. I think we're erasing that today.
All right. It's Thursday morning. Bean, you're lucky you weren't here yesterday.
Why? What was going on yesterday?
You know, we have a new phone system.
Yeah. Yes.
Bean was traveling yesterday, went to New York. That's where you're broadcasting from today.
Mm-hmm.
And
New York misses you guys. New York says hello. Broadway
pizza.
Is mocking Lisa May, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
He goes to the movies. He's in New York yesterday, and he goes to a movie.
Right.
No, I don't have much time to go to the movies
usually.
You can go to a
movie anywhere.
Right, but movies are still good there, too.
But they have
they're still fun.
Fabulous plays.
Yeah, but they're
and
plays.
Musicals. It's like a movie come to life.
But they're plays.
But they're movies come to life.
If they were good enough, they'd film them. That's what you got to remember about plays.
Such an ass.
Plays are stories that are not good enough to be made into movies. And if you think I'm wrong, I want you to look at how many successful plays get made into movies. The ones that suck don't.
That's just not true. There's a lot of things on a stage that don't translate to a movie.
It's
a different medium, Bean.
Dreamgirls was on stage for years in Broadway, and then somebody said, Broadway blows. Let's make it a movie. Boom. Now everybody can go see it, and it's in a theater.
I think that's what
they better.
Said.
That's what they said. They said Broadway blows.
Exactly.
That's what they said.
But I did think of you guys at the Ray's Pizza yesterday. I don't mind telling you.
Oh, love the Ray's Pizza.
I know.
That's good
I'm jealous.
Stuff. John's Pizza, also really good.
John's. Love John's.
Yeah. So what was the problem with the phones? Because I was there the day before yesterday when they were working, sort of.
It was way worse yesterday. And I'm not sure why or what was happening. For a while, lines 4 and 5 weren't working. And then a little bit later, lines 1 and 2 weren't working. And then for What It Do Nephew, people were getting a busy signal and no one could get through.
Even though it didn't look like anyone was calling.
It looked to us like nobody was calling. And I mean, it was crazy. We tried to do, hook up a threesome. And we put the guy and the girl on 2 separate lines and we could not get them both to hear us, no matter. It took us like 20 minutes to. Okay, hello, are you there? No, hello, are you there? Oh, can you hear me now? Oh, are you there? It was one of those for like 20 minutes.
I'm so glad my name wasn't on that show.
Every second there was something new with the new phone system that just wouldn't work.
I gotta tell you, in any business, when you put in a new phone system, this is what happens.
A little bit more public for us, but you're absolutely right. That is true.
But Bean's right. It's a little more public for us. And you would think
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying.
Knowing that, they would make sure it
would
works.
Would
Oh, plus the red line doesn't work either. The hotline.
Oh, that's good because no one calls out.
I don't know why. I don't know what makes it special, but it just the phone system refuses to see it. It just says, nope, no red line for you.
Wow.
It's not for you.
It's not for you.
So we say, okay, we'll
so
do the best we can without it.
If I had a flat this morning and had to call in, I would have not been able to get a hold
of
anyone.
That's correct.
Great.
That's correct.
All right.
Well, you pretty much just had to laugh at it, though. I mean, there's nothing else you could do.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was
out of your hands.
It was that bad. Yeah, it wasn't past angry, upset.
It was ridiculous.
To ridiculous funny bad.
Right.
But I have zero faith that anything has changed today, just so you know. Did anything change? Did they work on it, Mike?
It seems like it. I mean, Bean and I, our best form of communication this morning was over the phones, and it was working a lot better, the handheld. Like, I could actually press a button and engage it and talk to someone.
Wow.
Yeah,
hey, that's a big change.
Improvement.
All right. That's a step.
If it still doesn't work today, I want you to use a knife on the engineers.
Okay? I'm going to talk to the phone during the break. I'm going to say, what if I had a knife in my hand?
Yeah.
What if I said, you work or I'll cut you?
There you go.
See how that goes.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Seth Rogen from the movie Knocked Up, which I'm totally looking forward to.
Me too, and he's great.
He's great.
He's awesome.
We are going to have him in the studio today, 8 o'clock hour.
Of course, for folks who don't know the name, he was one of the stars of Freaks and Geeks. He was also in the, I think he was in the 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh, yeah.
He's awesome. He's the next Will Ferrell as far as I'm concerned. I think this guy is tremendously talented.
So we're going to have him in the studio. We also have tickets to the premiere of Ocean's 13. We're going to do a special Lick Lisa edition.
Woohoo!
Oh, fantastic.
That's coming up today. We have Bean is angry at a website, and we're going to tell you about that. This cracks me up. Because Bean's very angry and is thinking of writing a strongly worded letter, as he calls it.
Well, that's what I do, man. When I get my ire up, that's my recourse. Mike goes to the knife, I go to the keyboard.
You go to the keyboard.
Punch out a strongly worded letter.
I am going to type a letter that's going to be strong, mother effer. That's what Bean does. So we'll tell you about that coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's funny because I write not a lot. I mean, I wish I had more time. I'd write more strongly worded letters. But for instance, I fired off 2 last week to businesses. And you hope that it's going to make an impact. You hope that they're going to get it. And they're going to go, well, here's a customer who sat down and took the time to sit down and actually compose a letter and put it in the mail and send it to us. We should take this seriously. But I'm here to tell you, as a guy who's written thousands of strongly worded letters, you never hear from 99.9% of the people that you write to. They just ignore it.
Who did you write to last week? 2 letters.
Well, one of them was Alaska Airlines. I know that.
Okay, you don't know the other one?
I can't remember what the other one was. But my point is, though, you think that you're really, like, you're going to make a difference because you're going to sit down. You're actually going to take the time to do it. And I feel like they go strongly worded letters go right into a circular file.
Of course.
I mean, I know they do at K-Rock. If you write a strongly worded letter to us, believe me, no one cares and no one reacts.
But you think other businesses will?
I don't. I'm starting to come to the conclusion that it doesn't really do any good. Doesn't really. No one. Here's what I've discovered, and part of it is working on this show. No one cares what I think.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I've discovered.
But that's true in general.
Whether you know me or not.
That's true in general of everyone. Really? Yeah,
but I thought when you wrote letters, like if you were complaining about a product, you'd get back a box of that product. Like, you always get a response.
I think maybe.
That's the old days?
The old days when they cared about customer service, yeah.
I think maybe if there were a lot of letters, like overwhelming, like, oh my God, this is
actually
natural.
A problem.
And then maybe they might do something. Yeah. But no, I don't think it makes any difference. Wow. No one cares. Nobody cares what you have to say. Nobody cares what I have to say.
That's sad.
That's just the way it goes. And the big story here in Los Angeles, of course, is Kobe Bryant. I want to be traded. I don't want to be traded. I want to be traded. I don't want to be traded. I want to live. Yeah. I want to leave Los Angeles. I want to stay here forever.
Is it kind of? And I heard some of that on the news here in New York last night. But is it kind of? I want to be traded, but I have 2 years left of my contract. So what are you going to do to make me fulfill that obligation?
100%.
Is that kind of what it is?
Probably.
Yes.
Probably.
But in other words, there's a way out. Just tell me you're taking me seriously. Kobe basically is writing a strongly worded letter and seeing what kind of reaction he gets.
Yeah, but he's not writing a strongly worded letter. He's just talking.
Right.
But when it's Kobe and he says, I mean, he did say on ESPN Radio, I want to be traded. And the guy said, is there anything the Lakers could do to make you happy? He said, no. But then like an hour and a half later, he, you know, talked things over with his agent or whatever.
Right.
And then said, but he's always said all the way through, I love Los Angeles. I love the Lakers.
Right.
He's
my family loves it here.
Super unhappy with the way the team's being run, and they're not
sure,
challenging. They're not trying to win a championship, and I love it. I'm glad. Somebody needs to be upset about that.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you on that. I mean, I don't see – I think there's a better chance that this is going to improve the Lakers than not.
I certainly hope so.
Based on him standing up. I hope he goes to the Clippers. That would be the best.
Oh, dear God. That would make my life a nightmare with Dave, the King of Mexico.
Oh. It's bad enough you're watching the Ducks on their way to winning the Stanley Cup. Now you'd be watching the Clippers with Kobe. That would kill you.
Ducks are up 2-0 in their series. Yeah. Now the Clippers be with Kobe. That would be bad. I wouldn't be able to. I'd have to take my life. I'd use your knife. Can I use your knife?
No sweat.
Okay,
dude.
Fantastic. So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to take a quick break. Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and that is next.
Ralph Garman, did you get to go to the game last night? When I left town, you were talking about trying to see the Ducks in person.
I didn't. The Ducks horked me.
What?
They said, would you like to come to the game? I said, abso-freaking-lutely. Put me down for two tickets. And then whoever deals with the Ducks here at the station came to me and said, Ducks said these are really tough tickets, so they don't have any give you.
Did he say, that isn't good for you?
It was their surprise that a Stanley Cup final game all of a sudden is a tough ticket. They didn't know that when there was the finals last week when they asked me if I wanted to go.
They do get shellacked with requests.
Well don't sure ask me if I want to go.
Yeah,
I didn't go hat in hand on my knees to them, said, oh, please, can I go?
Apparently some bigger names came in.
Kenny said, hey, you want to get tickets? I'm asking, you know, they offered the morning show, they want to go and get some tickets. Oh, I'd love to go to a finals game. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's a 5 o'clock game. It's early, so I can get home, get some sleep. It's the perfect, ideal, yes, please, thank you.
It was a tough ticket, so they don't
did
really
Stephen Stills get him? Was he there instead?
Yeah, Stills was there. So. Nash, Young,
it was a great
Warren
game too.
Warren Zevon just dug up. They got him out of his grave. Every '60s rocker they could find was sitting there by the plexiglass.
It was a fantastic game.
I know. I watched it on Versus. I watched it last night at home. It was a great game. You can't beat Stanley Cup hockey.
I agree.
When it's a 0-0 tie going into third period,
it's
because
intense.
The tension builds so much, you think the roof is going to blow off the joint.
Yep.
And odds are, whoever scores that first goal by halfway through the third period is probably going to walk out there the victor. So the tension is just insane. And Tamas Solani hit this puck that I'm not kidding you, it rose up and then it just hovered above the crossbar of the goal and just kind of stuck there and took a nap and smoked a cigarette.
Yeah, time stopped.
And then it dropped down, just about to roll over the goal line, knocked away by Evers, the goalie for the Senators. So it was just got more and more tense, and then finally...
And then Paulson scored between the legs of the defender, right between the legs.
In the five hole, as they call it in hockey. Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was the strangest goal.
It was.
It almost happened so fast that the viewer was like, What just happened? It was
well,
like a,
that's
like
why
slot.
The defenseman was caught unawares. He had his back to the player right. when it was shot, and he used him as a screen. It was just terrific.
Well, I'm going to tell you two things. One is I'm writing a strongly worded letter today to freaking NBC for not carrying the Stanley Cup final
no
games
kidding.
When they can. I mean, they carry them on the weekend, but during the week, what are we going to miss? Another freaking deal or no deal for putting the game on? I mean, come on. It's
By the way,
no, time.
The problem is because it was an afternoon game, it would have dug into either local news out here in the West or primetime programming in the East, and they can't afford to lose that advertising
but
money.
But they're covering
the
rest.
Stations.
They're covering Saturday night. I know it's a weekend, but Monday night is the next game they're covering.
Oh, really?
They're covering all of the rest.
Well, I guess towards the end of the season, maybe the ratings are worthwhile for them to cover. But I know it's an advertising deal, especially with the local stations. When you
well,
cut
that makes
local
a lot of sense
programming.
With a 5 o'clock game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get kind of hinky. But
And the other thing I'll say, as amazing as it is at the Honda Center, as much as that goes off, can you imagine what it's going to be like for Ottawa, their first ever Stanley Cup Finals? Can you imagine what that room's going to be like tomorrow night?
Yeah, well, yeah, crazy. The Sens have a long and glorious tradition. Oh, wait a minute. They joined the league like four minutes ago. So.
Well, I'm just saying, though, you know, this is, you know, for
F
hockey
them.
Fans in Ottawa, this
is
pretty
Canada.
Huge.
Oh, stop sympathizing with the Ottawans.
I'm not sympathizing.
Who,
I'm just
can you imagine
you,
how great it's going to be there? F Ottawa.
I'm just telling you that their crowd is going to be into it just
you
like
You live in
our
so
crowd,
many goddamn places, you forgot what it's like to be in Southern California. F Ottawa.
It's
you in New York.
53,
Seattle, Missouri.
It's Thursday morning on the Kevin
Pocono
show.
Mountains, Reno.
Ralph is here with the show.
Sit down and do a show someplace.
What's going on, Ralph Garvin?
A little grouchy today.
Well,
hey, if I get a little if I get a little distracted during your showbiz report, it's because I'm looking through the glass here in New York City at a name that will be familiar to you guys, known as Trip Reeb. That is the name that I am now looking
at. Oh, nice.
So,
our former boss.
Wow. Our former boss, right.
Excellent.
So
if Chip.
give the tripper my love, won't you?
I'm sure I'll be talking to him after this report. Here's Ralph.
Lindsay Lohan wasn't the only one tossing her cookies on Memorial Day weekend. We've all seen the photos by now of her coming out of a club the night after she had the accident that gave her the DUI. She was on her knees throwing up outside the club and then passing out in the passenger seat of the car that she was being driven in.
Wow.
She wasn't the only one. Apparently, Britney Spears also found some time for outdoor heaving while
Excellent.
She was at Sky Bar on Sunday night during Memorial Weekend.
Excellent.
After having a little bit too much fun, according to witnesses, the pop whore camped out in the men's bathroom while apologizing profusely to the hotel staff, saying things weren't going well for her at the moment, and she was in the men's room.
Why in the men's room?
I guess because there wasn't much of a line there, and she was in a hurry because, you know, when you got
But you don't want to in the men's room,
You think. Don't want to on the floor either with everyone standing around looking at you if you can't get into the ladies' room.
Where's her friend with a cell phone to have those pictures provided for us?
Well, there's no photos, but there is a lovely description. A source tells the London Sun newspaper she had makeup smeared all over her face and her wig was half hanging off. There was vomit down the front of her black dress and around her mouth.
Oh. Please, God, if somebody took a picture of that, send it to us.
I don't want to see that.
Yes, you do.
You know, really, in fashion statements this summer, public vomiting is the new black, so.
It's true.
Congratulations to all you young ladies who are taking advantage of that this season. More effed up chicks in the news. Nicole Richie, you know, she's back down to 83 pounds.
Nice.
She's heading back to food rehab or wherever the hell they send those people who don't know how to eat something.
Dinner, that's where they should
send
them. They
should send them to IHOP. That's where they should send them. Get them a big
stack. It's not that hard.
Just force them to eat.
Apparently, Nicole's obsession with weight carries over even to her sense of humor for her holiday parties. In Touch magazine obtained a copy of an email invite sent out to friends for the Memorial Day party that Nikki had, and Nicole said in the invitation, to celebrate our country by drinking massive amounts of beer, but I also add that no girls over 100 pounds will be allowed in, so start starving yourself now. There will be a scale at the door.
Nobody over 100 pounds?
That's her idea of, you know, being funny, but it's not so funny when you obviously have some sort of eating disorder.
Sir? This is for all the fat girls!
Sir, is that funny?
No.
All right.
That's our new audio drop. Some
no
dude that. Saying no.
I'm trying to find Trip Reeb.
No.
Oh,
none of the three of them. I thought it was all three of them. It was none of the three of them. I apologize.
This is the same party, by the way, that Misha Barton got sick at when she was mixing alcohol and antibiotics.
Jeez,
so should have put that on the invite. And if you're on hardcore antibiotics, maybe you want to stay away from the punch bowl, especially you, skinny OC whore.
It's a hell of a party right there.
Sure is. I don't know if there's some outdoor vomiting. I can only hope. Well, this is enough to make me vomit. John Mayer and Jessica Simpson are back together again.
Oh,
oh God. Thank God.
Dear God.
In Touch magazine says the couple is, in fact, dating again. For those of you who are keeping track, this is the 10th time they've split up and made up.
Really?
10 times.
That is worse than high school.
They actually counted and added them up. 10 times in their relationship, they've split up and gotten back together again. If you're breaking up with someone 10 times,
yeah,
assume that the 10th time's the charm.
Although I see this one going the distance.
Really? Think you're going to really get their act together?
Absolutely.
All right.
Let me ask you this, though, guys. Before we condemn John Mayer, does he get to bang anyone else while he's, quote-unquote, on a break?
I don't know.
I'm assuming he does.
Of course.
So Jessica on, then bangs some hottie, then Jessica on, then bangs another hottie. It's not the worst deal in the world.
It is when you have to keep talking to her when she comes back.
That's the problem.
You've already banged her. How much more can you bang her?
Well, he looks at her and he goes, hey, I'd like that. And then he hears her and he goes, breaking up.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah. I'm saying it's different if you're a dude who looks like, you know, King of Mexico or something, you get Jessica Simpson.
Right.
Then every chance you get, you got to go back to that, right? But if you're John Mayer and you can bang unlimited amounts of groupie tail,
then you do that along with Jessica Simpson.
I'm just saying, you move on.
Okay.
There's got to be some other, you know, hot-looking model slash actress slash whatever that's going to be lined up.
Right? He does have more options than the regular guy.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, she's hot, but there's other hot chicks out there. Ones that you don't have to listen to. There's got to be some hot mute chicks he can run into. Although they rarely go to musical concerts.
Sure.
The deaf mutes.
The mutes?
Yeah. And now I'd like to close out with the three saddest stories in the history of music, if you don't mind.
No. Three in a row.
New York Post says that while on stage at a show in the Hamptons in New York over the weekend, Bobby Brown was performing when he suddenly stopped singing My Prerogative after he realized he had forgotten the words. Dude's got one hit.
Wow.
Couldn't put it together after the second verse. Just pulled up lame right there on the stage. Just, I forgot.
That's bad.
Yeah, the audience apparently looked at him with much sadness. Second most sad story in music?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
On July 7th, Prince will be performing a hometown concert in Minneapolis.
Okay.
At Macy's.
What, really?
At the store?
Yes, he will be performing at the 8th floor of that department store.
Are you kidding?
To launch his new fragrance, 3121. Prince performing at Macy's.
That was the name of his last CD.
Yeah, and he's just slapping it all over the place. He's got it on that club at the Rio where he performs in Vegas, and now got it on a fragrance, and he'll be performing live at Macy's on the 8th floor.
That's really sad, really, but those celebrities make bank on those on those fragrances,
but it's
man.
Prince,
I
and
know.
He's playing a department store.
I know, that's pathetic. I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to know there's a sale on all handbags and ladies' apparel, and Prince now is performing on the 8th floor if you'd like to stop by.
He's replaced the guy that they usually hire to play the piano in those stores.
Yeah, Nordstrom.
Right.
And lastly, the saddest story in music history. Last night, Sir Paul McCartney launched his new album on the Home Shopping Network.
Oh. Wow.
Oh. It's bad enough that it's being sold through Starbucks. Now he's on the Home Shopping Club?
It debuted on the Home Shopping Network. There was a 30-minute infomercial called the Paul McCartney Listening Party, where he played tracks from Memory Almost Full, his new CD, had discussions with fans, and I guess wrote down orders as they were phoned in.
That is classic.
Yeah. You can catch that today, 2:30 p.m., by the way, in case you missed it last night.
He was in the Beatles, though, right? This is the same guy we're talking about.
This guy, probably the most influential rock band in the history of modern music, last night selling his CD on the Home Shopping Network.
But you know what? He hasn't written a song that doesn't sound like it was written by a second grader in about 20 years.
Still, he's a Beatle, you know? The guy's got a legacy that you think you wouldn't want to tarnish by hawking your wares on cable television.
Yeah.
That's pretty much reserved for Jack LaLanne juicers and the Flobee.
And now, hey, Joan Rivers.
Don't disparage the Flobee.
No, I don't get me wrong. I love the Flobee. But still, Paul.
Wow.
John Lennon is so happy to be dead right now.
He is.
He's like, I'm glad I'm dead. At least I'm not selling my CD on cable. Me too. I'm George Harrison. I'm also dead. I'm Ringo. So I'm not dead, but I still wish I was. Today's celebrity birthdays, Clint Eastwood, actor, director, stud, Sharpay. He is 77 years old today. Joe Namath, Broadway Joe. Oh, I love me some Joe Namath. You may remember him best for being drunk on the sidelines of Monday Night Football. However, back in the
day... What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
One of the greatest moments in NFL history right
fantastic.
There.
Fantastic.
His name is Susie Culver. Oh, there was a time when he used to play professional football, and he was quite impressive as quarterback for the New York Jets. He's 64 years old today. Tom Berenger, very talented actor. You know him from The Big Chill and Major League. He's 57 years old today. Leah Thompson from Caroline in the City. Some Kind of Wonderful. Howard the Duck. Ah, the list goes on and on. She's 46 years old today. Run. DMC from Run DMC. Run not so much having a birthday, but DMC enjoying his 43rd birthday today. Brooke Shields is 42. And Colin Farrell, actor, whoremonger.
Yeah. Yes.
Is 31 years old today. What's Colin been up to? I haven't seen him in a movie in quite some time.
Probably just drinking.
Except the porn. That's the last thing we saw him in.
How dare you?
That porn. Did you see the porn, Lisa?
Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah.
Make sure.
Oh, yeah.
Take care of you.
Oh, yeah.
Colin's rocking, rocking a tool for the Irish.
You know? That's true.
Irish aren't known to have giant schwanstuckers.
That's correct.
He was impressive.
He was impressive.
Mm-hmm. Not as impressive as his... Forest.
That's the thing. If he would get the weed whacker out, he'd be even more impressive. He could add 3 or 4 inches.
He actually has a ball throw.
Yeah, he's a hairy dude. Except on his head, not so much. It's very odd. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, let's talk about Pirates of the Caribbean, shall we? Talk about our man Keith Richards, who is actually in that movie. Good morning, Keith.
Now, for folks who, whatever you said, Keith, we're with you, buddy. We appreciate that. For folks who don't pay attention, Johnny Depp gives a lot of the inspiration for his Captain Sparrow character to Keith Richards. I mean, he kind of fashioned what he did after you, Keith, which must have been, I'm sure, an enormous tribute to you, right?
It would be an enormous flattering thing to do that if I hadn't been so medicated.
Now, Keith, we heard that you were going to be in this one, and I went and saw it over the weekend, You're in it for... I don't know, maybe 40 seconds?
Oh, come on. 40 seconds and it just came. Really?
Yeah, it's almost a 3-hour movie and you're in it for about 40 seconds.
Oh.
Yeah.
I haven't bothered to see it.
You haven't bothered to see it?
Oh, you haven't seen the movie? You didn't go to... I saw you at the premiere at Disneyland, though. You didn't stick around for the movie?
Yeah. I went to the premiere at Disneyland, man. And then I shot up from heroin and went in the Haunted Mansion. So I never really got to see the movie. But I'm sad to hear that I was only 3 minutes. Because I shot, for days and days. Man.
Really? Days and days?
Yeah, and I thought, half an hour and leave my monologue. It was just, an incredible... And now this will be cut out.
Is it possible that no one understood your monologue?
No, it's not possible at all, because you won't have completely unsettling part, isn't it?
Yeah. I didn't get that. I'm sorry.
Not a word.
I'm sorry, Keith. What can you tell us for those of us like me, for instance, who has not seen the movie yet? You, of course, play Johnny Depp's character's father. What is your scene in the movie? What do you guys do on screen?
Well, we're all getting together to talk about the Pirate King, and they're going to vote for the Pirate King. I've come out with a big rule book, the Pirate Rule Book, and I tell them all they have to put in it, and then I fist them.
I am afraid of the word I understood there. Keith, I found it funny as well that they had to, take Johnny Depp, a beautiful dude, and they had to put all kinds of makeup and all kinds of, wardrobe, and they had to dress him down to make him look like a pirate. You, it didn't look like you needed any makeup at all. You were just you, and you looked pretty scary.
No, man, I was completely made up, man. They had to take about 50 years off me.
Maybe look better.
No one would believe, man, that I was alive. It looked like one of the skeletons from the first movie. So they made me up on his end. But, it was easy for me to do because I was born in the 1800s.
You were, yeah.
Sure, sure. Yeah. You remember your pirate days. Now that you've been on screen in this big summer blockbuster, does this get you excited maybe about doing more Hollywood stuff? Would you do another movie?
Absolutely, man. It was a blast of an experience. Okay, I'm really looking forward to doing more movies. In fact, right now I'm in negotiations to play Spider-Man in Spider-Man 4.
Spider-Man?
Yeah, man. It's going to be amazing. Web-slinging, swinging from building to building, man. It's going to be great.
You think you got that in your old body?
Oh, absolutely, man. Either that or I'll play a new character called the Dustman. Villain of Spider-Man, and when you touch me, I just turn to dust, man. I collapse in a pile of dust, and then I snort myself.
Excellent. So right now, though, it's time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. That's the phone number, 24 hours a day. You can leave us a message. You know, there's Talk Like a Pirate Day, and there's Talk Like Yoda Day. This listener has another suggestion.
Hi, Kevin Bean. Listen, Kevin Bean, I was wondering if you guys would be able to establish a Talk Like Yoda Day, Kevin Bean, because I, too, want to be in the entertainment business, Kevin Bean, and can you find me a woman, too?
I don't know that I can survive Talk Like Yoda Day. I think one is enough.
Yeah. I just ran into Tad bouncing at a strip club in Anaheim. What the hell did you people do to him?
I am frankly shocked that he's been able to keep that job as long as he has.
Yeah. Oh, it won't last much longer.
And now Nick Cage is here with the Showbiz Report.
More of a Showbiz Report protector.
Know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying? Know what I'm talking like that.
Guy's doing his own show.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
How about a joke?
Hey, Kevin and Bean, why do people in India hate Halloween? Because they have no Gandhi.
See?
Horrible.
I don't think I get it.
I think Gandhi is supposed to sound like candy.
Candy. Gandhi.
Don't have no candy.
You're okay. The Indian guy, Bean. If anyone's going to get it, it should be you.
Why? Because he does a perfect impression?
Exactly.
All right.
Smoke weed. Smoke weed. Smoke weed. They're going to put it on the radio. I swear.
Well, then take some impression.
All right. They're going to put it on the radio.
It's about time we got our props.
Woo! How about them ducks, Kevin and Bean? Thank you very much for having Ziggy on there. The curse is done. You guys rock.
All right.
Took this long for that guy to call. We talked to Jiggy before every single series. Now it's finally the curse is over. How dare you?
Oh, Lisa May. Oh, let me have your spicy, spicy taco. No cheese, please.
Oh.
Nice.
As if.
That's a nice touch. Everybody loves our commercials.
Where is Honda? Where is Honda? Woodland Hills! Woodland Hills! And
this girl loves him as well.
Where is Nissan? Where is Nissan? I hate that commercial. I hate it so much. I want to shoot my radio. Every time it comes on, I get this gross feeling in the pit of my stomach because I have to like it.
So play it more?
Play it more, yes. It's funny when commercials like that get stuck in your head, and that one does.
Yeah.
And you find yourself singing, and you go, why am I singing a commercial?
So annoying.
Drives me crazy. Psycho Mike gets a lot of love.
Psycho Mike's wife is really hot.
She is.
But it's wasted on him because Psycho Mike's gay. He's really gay. He's the gayest man in the whole wide world. Yes, he's gay. He's really, really gay. He's the gayest man you'll ever know.
Keep
and his wife is hot. She's really, really hot. He wants her not because he's really gay. Psycho Mike's gay. He's really, really gay. The gayest man you'll ever know. We really mean it. G-A-Y.
That guy's written a whole one-act play about Psycho Mike.
That guy could work on his breathing, though, couldn't he?
Yeah, a little bit.
He does Psycho Mike is
gay. He's really gay. He's really gay. He's really gay. Work on your breathing. Call us back.
And now, a moment with Bean.
A lot of people who are into, you know, one sort of athletic sports, they're really into other ones, too. They, you know, they like to kind of do both.
That was a moment with Bean.
Wow. Hey, that was a good point.
That was a good point.
I don't know that I necessarily put it well. It's 6:30 Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ. I think I have I think I've discovered the crux of the problem with Miss Lindsay Lohan. Because you know, Lindsay, three car accidents down the last 2 years. She's back in rehab. Here's the quote from her attorney and Lohan family friend, Michael Heller. Quote, "The world has been very hard on her."
Yes, they have.
I think maybe that's part of where the problem is with Lindsay, is that everybody says, oh, but it's so tough to be Lindsay Lohan, as if everything that's tough about being Lindsay Lohan isn't something that she's brought on herself.
Well, there is that. There is her making those decisions, and there is a life of privilege, and there is money, and there is fame.
Mm-hmm.
There's all that.
That's hard.
And there's drinking underage because she's famous. There's that.
Right.
But I don't know that it's everyone else's fault. But we thought we would check in with Lindsay this morning just to see how things were going in rehab. I think we have the number in rehab.
No kidding.
Good morning.
Usually they don't let you do interviews from rehab.
Good morning.
Hi, we're looking for Lindsay Lohan, please.
Yeah, this is Lindsay. How you doing?
No, the actress, the 20-year-old freckle-faced, red-haired actress Lindsay Lohan is who we're trying to get on the phone.
Yes, this is me. What do you want?
Wow.
You're not sounding very good, Lindsay.
I'm fine. How are you today?
You sound a little rough.
Smoking a lot?
Yeah, that's all you can do here, pretty much. Yeah. They let you smoke. That's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. Like totally like a bummer, you know?
Sure. Yeah. I read in Allure magazine in the May issue that you said, it's so weird I went to rehab. I always said I would die before I went to rehab.
I know. Can you believe it?
Now you're in again.
I know. I really thought this time I for sure I'd die before rehab. But no, I just keep going to rehab and not dying.
Right. And believe me, we're all disappointed. Did you go to rehab this time because you're hoping the judge will look favorably on that as he sentences you after the car crash? Or are you really trying to get clean this time?
That is like totally cynical of you. I can't believe you'd think that way.
Right, well, but is it true or not?
A lot of people do it.
Think it's working?
No. I doubt it.
No, I mean, I had to go into rehab and get some treatment.
Yeah.
I hit rock bottom, obviously. Me, my third car accident in a year.
Right.
And it's really not my fault, though.
How?
Because the world's been hard on me.
Well, I've heard that, but why don't you think it's your fault? I mean, shouldn't you take some responsibility for the decisions you make?
Well, when I drove Herbie, he drove himself.
That was just a movie, though, Lindsay.
I know. I so totally know that now.
Oh.
But, you know, sometimes at 5:30 a.m. on sunset, you just let go of the wheel and you figure Herbie will take over. But the cars, like, now don't even, like, drive themselves.
No, that's normal life. No cars drive themselves.
That's so totally lame. I so totally need a car that drives itself.
Well, there is no such thing, I don't think.
That would be a driver.
Oh. They could put a man on the moon, but they can't make a car that drives itself.
Well, you could afford a driver. You had a driver earlier that night in Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, but I fired him.
And then you went out and drove and wrecked your car.
Well, what are you going to do? Not drive?
Yes. Don't you think at some point you're going to get that message?
I don't know. I'm just confused. I don't feel so good. I mean, it's very difficult. It's very different. My life is very different in here than it is on the outside.
I imagine.
What's the biggest way?
I haven't thrown up in like 4 days.
Oh, that's gotta be hating that.
Usually, in the course of a day, I can like totally count on vomiting in public at least once.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't even like throw up at all yet.
But isn't that good?
It's just different.
Oh, different.
I don't put a value judgment on it.
Not used to it. I see.
Different.
Lindsay,
I'm just not used to it, is what I'm saying.
Okay,
sure. Right,
by the way, the mini bar here sucks.
Well, they don't have it's rehab.
It's like water and juice. Do you know some people drink juice? They take a fruit and they squeeze it, and then the stuff that comes out of it, they actually drink it.
Yes. Of course they do. Yeah, a lot of people do that.
And it's like totally lame.
Lindsay, let me ask you about...
I wish I had some vodka berries right now. I'd squeeze those.
They're not vodka berries.
They're not going to give you those. Let me ask you about the cocaine that the police found in the car. Now, is that something we need to be worried about with you, or was that just from one of your other passengers that morning?
That is so totally not mine.
Sure.
Not yours.
So totally not mine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what happened to it, by the way? Do they still have it?
They probably checked it into
evidence.
That means, I can't get it back?
Right.
If it was
But it's
mine,
not yours.
If it was mine, I couldn't get it back.
Right, but it's in the police custody now. You can't just go and ask for your coke back.
I bet those cops are totally doing it. Those cops are probably totally getting high on my coke.
I'm guessing no.
I hate them. I hate cops. They so totally don't like it when you drink and drive, and they totally do your drugs. I'm sure of it.
Now, Lindsay...
Life is hard on me.
Yeah, I know. There was a lot of talk about your birthday party, your 21st birthday party, July 2nd. And that's when you turned 21. You had a big party in Vegas. You was sponsored by alcohol.
It was totally going to be a total blast. It was going to be a real big bash, and everybody's going to be there, and it was going to be really cool.
But now you're in rehab.
Yeah.
And then your preliminary court date is August 24th, so it's after your birthday. What's going to happen to your big 21st birthday
party.
I'm going to have to delay it, I think, postpone it.
Yeah.
Although I may have it in prison, I'm thinking, maybe. If I go to jail, I'll just throw a big bash there.
I see. Okay.
And invite some of the ladies from the cell block. You know, and we can, you know, take a shower.
Okay, good.
Okay, all right.
If you're just tuning in, we are talking to Lindsay Lohan. I'm
just bummed because my sponsor, like, totally backed out of my party.
Right.
The vodka company,
yeah.
No, my Alcoholic Anonymous sponsor.
Oh,
that one.
Yeah, she won't come.
Well, it doesn't sound like she should if you're going to be drinking again.
Well, I don't plan to be drinking. I don't plan to be drinking.
You don't?
No. I don't plan to be sober, but I don't plan to be drinking either. and also my other sponsor, the vodka sponsor, they're supposed to throw the party for me.
Right.
And pay for everything.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, totally backed out, too.
They backed out, too, yeah.
Well, it's bad publicity now.
Gutless.
Well, you're not exactly a good representation for these alcohol companies.
But it's okay because the country of Colombia apparently is going to step up and they're going to fill in.
The country of Colombia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I keep them busy over there.
Uh-huh. I see.
I pretty much, I'm the gross national product of Colombia.
So no drinking, but you're going to do what Colombia has to offer.
Oh, I totally didn't say that. I so totally didn't say that.
Well, you did.
I so totally did not say that.
But you did.
I so want a line right now.
And I saw an article in the Los Angeles Times about how Los Angeles is not hockey crazy, even though the Ducks are in the finals.
Well, that's
it was kind of a no one really care. I mean, I know that the Ducks fans care greatly, but
yeah,
usually
sure.
When there's a championship going on in a city, the whole city kind of is going crazy.
Yeah.
But it's, unfortunately, hockey's not that way.
They were interviewing people. I saw the same article. They were interviewing people who worked within a few miles of the Honda Center who really didn't even know about it, didn't even realize it was happening, didn't really care about it because, you know, hockey's just not their thing, I guess.
And by the way, it doesn't help that it's on Versus Network. I got a lot of email from people saying, I can't find the finals game anywhere. How do I watch it? If you don't have Versus, which used to be the old outdoor network,
right,
you're out of luck until NBC starts covering it on Saturday. But
well,
yeah,
that's a shame.
It's really
hockey's popularity in general in America has dropped significantly, especially since the lockout, since they had that strike situation.
It's unfortunate.
They lost their major television contracts and stuff, and it's not a popular sport, which is a drag because it's a great sport.
It's a fantastic game last night.
Plus, you have to remember that the Ducks is a relatively new team too. So cities that have long-standing tradition of hockey tend, like Detroit and towns like that, tend still to be sort of manic about their teams. But, the Ducks have sort of just come along the past, what is it, 12, 13 years or so? But,
yeah, something like that, yeah.
It's a shame, because they're a great team, and it was a great game last night, and more people should pay attention.
They're up 2-0. They play again Saturday night. That's going to be on NBC, finally.
The organization does tend to, however, offer you tickets, and then when you say yes, not give them to you. There is that flaw. Maybe that's why people don't like hockey, because they're a bunch of Indian givers. Maybe that's why hockey's so not happening.
I think they made the right decision with you.
Hey, you want to go to the Stanley Cup Finals game? Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks. No, sorry, not so much for
that
you.
That isn't good for you.
That's what he said.
Yeah. So. We can give you some more lip balm, though.
You're out.
That's what they said to me.
You know what? But although you like the lip balm,
I love
their complaining
lip balm.
About the lip balm.
The duck lip balm's the best lip balm in the world.
Did you know, Ralph, I don't know how long it's been since you've been to a Ducks game, maybe Kevin and Bean night at the Honda Center, but did you know Emilio Estevez is not even playing for the team anymore, and they're still made it to the Stanley Cup? I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Joshua Jackson is, though, right?
Yeah, he still is.
Oh, he's still with him. Oh, yeah.
Just make sure.
6:51, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here is Ralph.
Sometimes life changes and you need to change with it.
Okay.
Sometimes maybe it's the political climate or sometimes it's the social climate. It alters and you need to find a new way to express yourself. I think that's the case for film director Mike Figgis.
Who's Mike Figgis?
Mike Figgis is a very talented British director. He directed, for instance, Leaving Las Vegas, Nicolas Cage movie for which Nick Cage won his Oscar. So he was heading back to England. And he was reportedly held over for 5 hours at the Los Angeles International Airport.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
He was going through immigration, and they asked him why he was in the country. And he said, I'm here to shoot a pilot.
No, he did not. He did not.
Well, apparently the immigration agents are not familiar with the TV industry terms and didn't realize that shooting a pilot is the first episode of any potential TV show. And he was there to direct it, and they thought he meant he was going to gun down someone who flies an airplane.
Come on, that had to be easy to clear up.
He spent an interrogation. He spent time in an interrogation cell for 5 hours, and
oh
then
my
was
God.
Released after officers finally figured out he had no assassination plans. He was just working. in Los Angeles.
Did he ask them if they were worried that his pilot was going to be a bomb?
Oh!
I mean, is that part of the problem? Or?
Oh!
Yeah, that may have made it worse.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious.
That's tragic. So many levels. Here's some good news. In today's USA Today is an interview with Jenna Fisher, our lovely friend who plays Pam over there on NBC's The Office.
If I had the bell, I would have hit it by now.
She is recovering from those four broken bones in her back after a nasty fall on May 14th at a party for NBC. She is recovering nicely. She's still in a significant amount of pain, but she's up. She takes a one-hour walk every day through Central Park. She's recovering in New York. She said the pain really is the only thing holding her back in terms of mobility and stuff. She's recovering nicely. So
fantastic.
Good news is she'll be well. It's the first interview she's given since the injury, and she said everyone really came to her aid when she went down. Steve Carell was there for her, sent her flowers immediately with a very funny note, she claims. John Krasinski wrote her a lovely email. Rainn Wilson called all the time. But the one who really impressed her was Zach Braff from Scrubs. He said he was at the party when I fell, Jenna said. And the next day, he sent a big tray of cupcakes to my hotel. In the first few days, all I could do for pleasure was watch Larry Sanders DVDs and eat cupcakes. So she was very happy that he stepped up.
Well, he's a doctor, so he would know
how to prescribe her cupcakes.
By the way, the lovely Jenna Fisher, who we love, as you mentioned, Pam in the Office, staying at the same hotel I am, and I'm about ready to go door-to-door to find her.
Why don't you? Because she's in pain enough. Doesn't she suffering enough with broken vertebrae that she needs to deal with beans?
That's true. I didn't think about that.
I have a delivery for her. You know what I'm saying?
No. Shut up.
Yeah.
That isn't good for you.
It's Jenna Fisher. Stop it.
And her husband, writer-director James Gunn, is a very nice fellow, and I hope he kicks your ass.
As do I.
That's all I got to say. You know, there was all kinds of rumors about Lindsay Lohan's latest boyfriend, Callum Best, saying he was a bad dude, and he likes to party too hard, and he was a bad influence on her. Not that you could tell by the fact she ended up in rehab again.
Right.
But those rumors may be true. Apparently, a video has surfaced on the internet of Callum Best, that's his name, having sex with two prostitutes while snorting cocaine.
Oh. And that's bad?
Well, I don't know. It depends how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Callum has offered up his apologies for the video, admitting that his behavior was stupid. He says he feels ashamed for his behavior, but he's young, he says, and he likes to indulge from time to time. And from time to time, meaning, you know, 24 hours a day.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
Now, what's this dude? He's an actor, Ralph?
I do not know who he is.
Okay.
I just know that he's dating Lindsay Lohan, and he likes to have sex with two prostitutes while snorting cocaine.
Right.
Who doesn't, though, really?
He's her kind of dude.
Seriously.
Speaking of losers, Kevin Federline, back in the news.
Haven't heard his name in a while.
I know. Really, it's nothing he did, but it's about his new friend. New York Daily News says that hanging out in Vegas over the weekend was Kevin Federline and his new best buddy, Wilmer Valderrama.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Apparently, the two were hanging out. And K-Fed has said that he's offering Wilmer a chance to be involved in his next CD.
Wow, that's huge for Wilmer.
Yeah, so he's really got an opportunity.
Huh? He's doing another CD after selling eight.
Kevin, the clamor for a follow-up CD has been enormous.
From
people who need another coaster for their coffee table. Can't have
he
just
sold
one.
Nothing.
Mel B, the former Spice Girl who celebrated her birthday this week, has a new job, other than just being an incubator for Eddie Murphy's sperm. Apparently, she's already been signed to compete on the next installment of ABC's Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
It's one way to revive a career.
It sure is. So she will be dancing with the stars. Wonder what stars she'll be dancing with. She's not so much one anymore.
No, it doesn't seem like it, does it?
But, yeah, you know, and there's a Spice Girl reunion in the works, too. So this could be the year of the Spice Girl.
Yes!
And I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, great.
And I'm also excited by the fact that Sir Paul McCartney, legendary Beatle, launched his new album, Memory Almost Full, last night. Not at a big party, not at a big Hollywood event, or even in London. No, he dropped it on the Home Shopping Network last night.
That's so hot.
That's bullshit.
Network featured a 30-minute listening party featuring tracks of the CD, discussions with fans, and the broadcast premiere of video segments with Paul talking about the album.
Game.
Not really broadcast premieres. More like, you know,
TV old people.
Can't really call Home Shopping Network broadcast.
Then. Do you think he'll sell more that way than if
more
he
like
just
closed circuit broadcast?
He might. He might sell
I'm
more
sure
because
he will.
No one really cares about his new stuff anymore because it's awful. But maybe the old people do.
Have you heard the new CD, Kevin?
No.
No.
I'm just going by.
So you're not sure it's awful. It could
I'm just
be
going
great.
By Talking About Freedom, the worst song ever written.
Don't you have a track over there from the new CD? Don't you have one of his new CD tracks?
Yes, we do.
Don't you have a little piece?
Oh, it's fantastic, this clip.
I thought we sent one in. I thought you might enjoy hearing a little bit of Paul McCartney. Just a little something.
You gonna be able to find that today, or
some blank faces in the
How
corner?
How long are you gonna be left to stay?
I honestly don't.
I know.
No
I'm kind of springing this on, but usually when I try to play something musical, they yes. have some wacky piece of
right.
song or something that has nothing to do with the actual song.
That's it. There you go.
So really? Just, that's what we were going
I
for.
I figured they could pick any random one of 100 songs they have over there.
Let's go smoke some pot. Stuff like that. Let's go smoke some pot.
For example, perfectly.
Let's go smoke some pot.
Perfectly acceptable. That would have been.
Hey, that was what I expected, something like that. Hey, Kevin and Bean, it's the one from Los Angeles, California. Soul Train.
I think Paul sounds pretty good there.
Did you see the amount of time that the look of dumbfoundedness
yes.
was on Mike's face?
Yeah.
He had no idea what we were talking about, what we might
what
want, nothing.
On.
I thought maybe a little spontaneous creativity would happen on that side of the room, but...
He doesn't... Nope.
That's not the new track.
Neil McCartney. You guys haven't heard this?
Nope.
No. Just anything musical. I figure you would just slap something on there. Just, you know.
Sometimes you pick goat whore, you know, like
just
that.
Anything,
you know what we're talking about?
Are you familiar with that segment?
Do you remember?
That happens sometimes on the show?
This show ever? Have you ever thought about this?
No.
At least he's not reading a magazine.
That's what he does. He reads a magazine.
He was reading a magazine during the show. We lost him. See? This would have been funny.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That would have been a funny choice.
2 minutes ago, that would have been really funny.
That's goat whore. That is in Paul McCartney.
That would have been a funny choice. I'm just saying. Today's celebrity birthdays, Clint Eastwood, actor, director, guy.
He is a guy.
Yeah.
That's true.
Former mayor of Carmel. Oh, you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to give away tickets to Ocean's 13 premiere.
Ooh.
Oh.
Let's do that right now,
yeah,
shall
let's
we?
Do it!
Just before the birthdays. I have got two pairs of tickets to go see the red carpet Hollywood premiere of Ocean's 13, Tuesday, June the 5th. It's going to be an amazing event held at Grauman's Chinese Theater. If you'd like to go, I've got two pairs of tickets right now. Here's a little trivia question for you. George Timothy Clooney, my new best friend, besides being one of the greatest actors, entertainers of our lifetime, when he was a young man, was quite a baseball player and tried out for a professional baseball team.
Really?
He did. If you know which team he tried out for, call me now. 1-800-520-1067. First two people to get through with the correct answer will get a pair of tickets to go see Ocean's 13 at the red carpet Hollywood premiere. And by the way, that Tuesday, June the 5th, you should come on down early if you can't make it into the premiere, even if you can. At 11 o'clock, they're going to do the hand and footprint ceremony in the courtyard there where George and Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, and the director of the film, Jerry Weintraub, will be putting their hand and feet prints in cement there at Grauman's Chinese Theater. Should be quite the event, so come on down.
And they don't do these very often, the hand and feet. I mean,
no, they
a lot
don't.
Fewer of those than there are, say, of the Hollywood Walk of Fame stars.
Oh, yeah. This is real celebridom. That's when this happens. So it's going to be a cool event. In fact, we'll be down there. I think we'll be talking to those
We will be down there, yes.
It'll be very exciting. Today's celebrity birthdays, as I mentioned, Clint Eastwood is 77 today. Joe Namath, legendary football player, NFL star. Nope. He didn't sing that at all. He's 64 years old today. Tom Berenger is 57. Leah Thompson from Caroline in the City and many films.
Did she get a bell?
46.
I don't
she
know
used
her.
To. I haven't seen her lately, so I can't really bell
Let's
her.
Say
now.
No.
Okay. How about Brooke Shields, actress?
Yeah. Sort of, yeah.
She's 42 years old today. Colin Farrell, very talented actor and even more talented drinker. He is 31 years old today. And do we have an answer for my trivia question?
I do not know yet.
We don't know.
We'll tell you in a second after the song.
After the song?
Yeah.
We got to wait till after the song?
Well, we just asked.
Oh,
and Dave Slow.
So many people here are going to be upset. Because,
Dave had to wake up.
Yeah.
Phones aren't working, apparently.
Is
That's
it,
good.
Is it we don't know because the phones aren't working, or is it we don't think there's an answer yet?
I think we don't know because the phones aren't working.
Wow.
Again.
Wow. Now I feel bad because people are going to be, you know, maybe someone they're driving into work or something and they have to get out of the car and they're never going to know the answer to the trivia question.
Well, I think they'll live.
But they might be disappointed.
Well, they're always disappointed.
I hate to disappoint our listeners.
Please, seriously.
All right.
All right, hold on. Enrique?
Yeah.
What team did George Clooney try out for? A professional baseball team.
The Cincinnati Reds.
Cincinnati Reds. You're absolutely right.
Nicely done.
George grew up in Cincinnati.
No kidding.
Yeah. His dad was a TV host there.
And he didn't make it on the Cincinnati Reds?
Didn't make it on the Reds.
But everything else he wants in life, he gets.
I did.
I think we are all the better for that fact. All right, congratulations. You won a pair of tickets to go see Ocean's 13 at the Red Carpet Hollywood premiere on Tuesday, June 5th.
Excellent.
Way to go, Enrique. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let go!
Exactly.
Let go!
Yeah. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, Thursday morning, 7:10. The star of Knocked Up, that opens up tomorrow with Seth Rogen, is going to be here. In fact, Seth Rogen is going to be here.
That's right.
Well said.
How many times would you need to retake those love scenes with Katherine Heigl to make a baby in that movie? I mean, wouldn't you just every single scene, you know what? I don't think I nailed it. I nailed it, but I don't think I got the right take.
I'd like to try it again. I feel I have more in me.
Well, so to speak. He's going to be joining us. That's what she said. Next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Lakers. We're talking to our friend Matt Money Smith from AM570 back on the phone with us. It's been an exciting week for your team, even though it's the off season for the Lakers. How you doing, Money?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're good. We talked to you yesterday.
Yeah.
And you had interviewed Kobe Bryant. He was talking about how unhappy he was with the management, but he stopped short of saying he wanted to be traded.
Yeah, it's been a nutty 36 hours, to say the least. We kind of started that whole S-storm with him.
Way to go, man.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for you, he'd be happy.
I guess so. I mean, we just kind of, before we put him on, his people said, look, he's in the mood to talk, so don't hold back with anything. Feel free to put out whatever you want. And I think, he was just kind of disconsolate and just seemed like he was irritated, frustrated. Had kind of had enough and wanted a sounding board to vent. And that's what I figured it was. Just him saying, look, I'm not happy. They need to do something. I'm tired of losing and watching the Jazz in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that kind of got taken to another level.
But his other one complaint with you was that they were trying to hang, Shaq left the team on Kobe.
Right.
And Kobe wanted to come out finally and say, it wasn't me. I had nothing to do with it. They told me they were going to trade him before any of this started.
Yeah, it was kind of it's so funny, so many of these things come from throwaways. And that just seemed like it was just a throwaway in that Mark Heisler column yesterday in the Times. It was almost like an afterthought that he mentioned that particular moment in the Lakers' history. And for some reason, Kobe just took that and ran with it. And I'm sorry, 2 days ago in the LA Times. And that's kind of what got him on this media tour. And it led to yesterday morning on a station in New York, Stephen A. Smith, who's pretty much intolerable if you ever listen or watch him. He basically made a trade demand.
And we have that clip. This is Kobe now on ESPN talking about wanting to be traded.
You're still under contract with them. Are you saying right here on this show that you want to be traded?
Yeah, I would like to be traded, yeah.
I know before you reportedly said that you would like them to get Jerry West back. Are you saying now emphatically, regardless of what they've done, you want out of Los Angeles?
Yeah, I would like to be traded. And as tough as it is to say that, and as tough as it is to come to that conclusion, there's no other alternative.
I'm going to ask you one last time. Is there anything the Los Angeles Lakers can do to get you to remain with the organization?
No, bro.
Okay.
Wow.
So, are you sure that was Stephen A. Smith? Because that sounded like me asking those questions.
Yeah, sure did.
It did a little bit, yeah.
I'm going to ask you again.
He's not leaving a lot of wiggle room there for discussion. For hey, I know I'm a little upset right now because we're not winning, but let's get together and improve this team. He's out, according to that.
According to that, but then of course Kobe did about 19 more interviews throughout the day, and I guess Vic the Brick's mad death energy may have had some effect on him. Because
I can't imagine that Kobe ended up talking to Vic the Brick.
I'll tell you, man, it was one of the most interesting / uncomfortable / surreal thing. Kobe, I want you to pause and look around you right now. I'm sorry, what'd you say? Look around you. Look at your kids. Hold on a second, Vic. I can't hear you.
Hey, Money, I wasn't here yesterday to talk to you about this, but I have to ask. I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, why is it necessary for him to do all of this publicly? And aren't these discussions he ought to be having with team management at this point?
I think what happened was he came out with this Jerry West thing over the weekend, that he desperately wants Jerry West back. I don't know why he chose this weekend. You know, you can't talk about getting Jerry back until July 1st when his contract is up with the Grizzlies. But for some reason, that's what came out. And that then caused kind of a storm itself because, you know, Mitch Kupchak, who runs the Lakers, who is the GM, was a protege of Jerry's, Jerry was his mentor, and he kind of handed the Lakers to Mitch. So doing that insults Mitch, and we understand that Jerry West isn't happy about that. But for some reason, Kobe just felt like making that statement, and I think he kind of had to back that up by doing a couple interviews to kind of talk about what he meant and what he wanted, and that's how this whole thing began, and it was somewhat of an attack on Kobe after he did that with Jerry.
We're going to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you're a Laker fan and you think that perhaps they should trade Kobe, or you think that they should keep him, and how should they do that? We'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Here's some tape from 570 AM. This is Loose Cannon Show. And this is Kobe. Now, after he said, I want to leave the team, there's nothing the team could do to keep me. But now he has talked to Phil Jackson, and he's back with a different take.
Well, I called Phil, man. He and I talked, man. It was an emotional conversation, but he just said, you know what, Kobe, just, you know, let us try to figure this thing out. And, you know, that gave me some hope. I don't want to go no place. I don't want to go nowhere. I want to stay here. This is my team. I love it here. And when I say my team, it's my team in the sense of I've been a Laker fan forever, like a real Laker fan. Like none of this, you know, I play for the team. No, I've been a real Laker fan. And when you're a Laker fan, you know that you feel like it's your team. And that's how I feel. I don't want to go no place else.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah, and I don't think anything's changed since then. You know, a lot of people say Kobe is very calculated and conniving and media savvy, and he uses them for whatever he wants. But this 48, 72 hours has not seemed that way at all.
Seems like he's just he's completely emotional and flip-flopping and going all over the place, not knowing what he wants to do.
Yeah, he's scattered. And, you know, Phil... And I guess as funny as it is, you know, here's a guy who said that Kobe was, you know, essentially one of the worst players he ever coached when he left the Lakers in 2004 in that book, The Last Season, as far as a person and what it was like having to deal with him. And now Phil and he are, you know, this duo that is now taking on the organization and trying to get matters into their own hands so they can bring back the winning way.
This is Matt Money Smith. We're talking to you from AM 570. You're listening to the world-famous Carrot Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you're a Laker fan, you have some thoughts after the break. But let me ask you just one more thing, Money, before we do take that break, and that is, what about the 2 years left on his contract? I mean, even if Kobe wants to be traded, he might end up having to stay a Laker. Can't they make him play?
They can. He's bonded to that contract, and he has actually a no-trade clause, so they couldn't just trade him anywhere. He's the only player in the NBA with a no-trade clause in his contract.
Which means if he wants to be traded, he can, but if they want to trade him, they can't?
They can, but they would have to get his approval.
Like, I see.
You know, if they wanted to send him to Memphis, he can say, nah, man, I ain't going to Memphis, and that's that.
Okay.
But, you know, that said, I don't think there's any way they would trade him this year. I think next year, if they got the sense that he was going to opt out and become a free agent again at the age of 29, then very well they could. But this year doesn't make sense. You know, he's too big a draw. He's the best player in the NBA. So I just can't see that happening.
So he's got two more years. They'll keep him this year. And if things don't go well and it looks like he's going to opt out after the next year anyway, they'll trade him when they can get something for him.
That would be my guess.
Oh, I hope that doesn't happen. All right. Well, we'll take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Money, you can stay with us?
Sure.
Fantastic. We'll take your calls now.
Has, in any point of this conversation about Kobe Bryant, has the King walked in and started talking about how Kobe's going to be a Clipper?
Nope.
He hasn't brought that up?
Okay. I'll punch him right in his face.
Former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show, Matt Money Smith from AM 570 is on the line with us right now. He, of course, works very closely with the Lakers. Had the chance to talk to Kobe this week. Kind of was in the middle of the firestorm of the Laker remarks that Kobe made. What's management going to do now before we go to some calls here, Money? What are they going to do? What's their answer going to be to what Kobe has said out loud?
You know, they have not. We've asked and we've offered to put anyone on, you know, Mitch or Jeannie or Jim or Dr. Buss, whoever. And so far they've kind of declined. Dr. Buss issued a statement yesterday saying, you know, we want to deal with this in-house. We plan to talk to Kobe. And until we do that, we have no comment. My understanding is yesterday, Magic, who, you know, is a VP and isn't necessarily just a figurehead. I mean, he is involved in some of the business decisions with that organization. He reached out and he talked to Kobe yesterday. So I think that kind of, you know, the so-called self-healing process is already underway.
You know what's weird? What's weird is that he finally said after he wanted to be traded that he talked to Phil Jackson.
Right.
It seems like, I don't know, it seems like if you're that unhappy, you'd have that discussion almost on an ongoing basis with your coach.
Yeah, that's why I think this is just stream of consciousness, you know, and it's, you know, people just keep asking, so what do you know? So what are you saying, Kobe? Y'all want to be traded? Yeah, I want to be traded. No, that's it. It's just Stephen A. throwing that out there, and he doesn't know what to say, so he says, yeah, I guess I do.
All right, let's take a few phone calls. This is T in Long Beach. Hi, T.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I listened to The Money Show. I heard it live. I mean, I was amazed, and I don't think they can bring Kobe back with all the stuff that he said. I mean, with all the big egos and the owners and Mitch and everyone, and I don't see how they can do it. But I'm a huge Kobe fan. I mean, I'm a huge Laker fan, and I just don't know how they can do it.
Well, I think they can do it just because, you know, he's the draw. I mean, he's the reason why people come to see Laker games. And even if you know, I mean, Kevin Beam, the thing is, even if they were to trade him and to try to get something in return, like let's just say, you know, throw out a couple teams with a lot of young talent, the Blazers or the Bulls, guys that probably could figure out a way to get that rebuilding underway for the Lakers. You know, so they get Luol Deng, who's probably going to be an all-star. They get Ben Gordon and someone else, you know, in a first-round draft pick. I mean, these are kids. You don't know who these guys are. They're, you know, people in L.A., they want to be entertained along with watching winning basketball.
So it'd be worth it for the team, even though he said these things, to just put it behind him and move on.
Yeah, I don't think Dr. Buss has, you know the story about Shaq is, remember, that he was, like, in Hawaii in that preseason.
Right.
And, like, you know, looked at Jerry Buss and said, pay me, MF-er, you know, and that's kind of where their whole relationship took a turn for the worse. Well,
let me ask you this, Money, that is, the team already has enough trouble playing together as a team out there on the floor. How much worse is it going to be next year if all summer long the other players have been hearing Kobe talk about how he wants to get traded?
Yeah, I mean, very true. And I think, you know, and we asked him that. We said, you know, do you understand that it's kind of a dig on your teammates when you say we have to get better? You know, you're basically insulting the talent that's around you. I mean, I didn't use those exact words, but, you know, his point was, look, it's nothing against Lamar and Luke. Those guys played injured all season. You know, I love those guys. I love playing with them. They're great people. They're great teammates. He's like, but you just can't argue the fact that this isn't a championship team.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no one that you talk to that says this is a Laker team that can win a championship. So it's nothing against them, but that's the reality of it.
We were talking after the show yesterday about Kobe and where he would go and how many teams he could go to and they would be championship contenders immediately.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know,
a lot of teams, but not the Lakers.
No.
So let's make some changes.
Interesting.
You know?
Interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, the other problem with that is you don't want to trade him to a team. Like, for instance, Phoenix could put together one hell of a package because they've got so many pieces.
Right.
You know? I mean, they could give you Sean Marion, who's an all-star. They could maybe Amari Stoudemire, who they're not crazy about. You know, but do you want Kobe in Phoenix?
No, I mean, God, no.
That's the thing. That's the other side of it.
All right,
let's go to Michelle, by the way. This may be a mistake because I think she's a girl, but I'm interested to hear what she has to say. 1-800-520-1067. Michelle, we got Matt Money Smith from AM570 on the line, and, of course, Kevin Bean. Lisa May, what do you got for us?
I'm tired of seeing Kobe being a ball hawk. It's not his team. He needs to learn to pass the ball. There is no I in team. We learned this in, what, elementary school?
Yeah. But let me ask you this, Michelle. So you want him to be traded?
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this, Michelle. As a Laker fan, you watch all season long, and when Kobe passes the ball, they shoot it, and it doesn't go in. And then he passes it, and they shoot it, and it doesn't go in. Then he passes it to shoot it, and it doesn't go in. So then you finally just go, all right, stop passing it. Just shoot. Because he doesn't have anybody to make shots. You can't get an assist without somebody else making a shot.
Well, and that's a good point, Kevin, because it's not like Kobe is Allen Iverson and is shooting 41%. I mean, it's a guy that makes almost half his shots, and that's the difference. You know, he's the best player in the game.
And I hear about Steve Nash all the time in Phoenix. You know, he makes everybody else better.
But he does,
but he's got all the assists. But those guys that he passes to can make shots.
Well, you know, you're talking about, you know, the most improved player from a year ago in Boris Diaw, who's a heck of a player, an all-star in Sean Marion, all-star in Amari Stoudemire. It's a different cast of characters. And yes, he helps make them better. And I will say this, the one thing about people and watching every Lakers game and dealing with it after every loss or every victory, the one thing Kobe tends to do that I do believe does, to some degree, annoy fans and teammates is he changes his game a little bit in the fourth quarter because he just feels like that's his time to take over. That's
right.
And that's what stars are supposed to do, but it leaves a lot of other guys not knowing what they're supposed to do on the floor. You know, it's kind of a two-way street. They don't know if they should expect to take a shot or if Kobe's just going to go one on five, and that kind of causes that whole team to just kind of be it disrupts the offense, and people just don't know what their roles are at that point, and that's when things just kind of come off track and the Lakers can lose games late.
All right, we have a lot more people on hold that want to ask questions. Money, can you stay for one more?
I think so.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. 1-800-520-1067. Talking about sports here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Huge sport event last night.
Racing right back is Sammy Paulson. Crosses and shoots. He scores!
I like that they used the big ship.
Yes.
It's the only goal of the game.
It was an F.
Samuel Paulson uses Joe Corvo as a screen right between the legs.
Shot it right between his legs. Scored the goal. Won the game. 2-0, the Ducks.
Mike was so excited when you said that right now, by the way. Hey, this is Bean speaking. I'm on the road, so I was in a hotel and did not get, don't have the crappy Versus channel to watch the game last night, which, again, is a travesty that
it
you
is.
Can't watch a Stanley Cup final game on one of the networks. But who sang the national anthem? How did they top Stephen Stills from game one?
I didn't see that. Did you see it, Bunny?
I didn't. We were at on location, so I was not inside because it's during our show. But,
did you hear the national anthem from Stephen Stills the first night?
Yeah, it turns out it wasn't so good.
Oh, my God, it was terrible.
That is the voice of former sports guy on the Kevin DeBean Show, Matt Money Smith. Of course, you can hear him now every afternoon with our friend Petros Papadakis at the AM 570. You know, we go to Money because we can't get Vic the Brick. He will not return our calls, so we settle for Money. And I think you do the same thing.
The warrior poet. We are talking to lightness.
We're talking about Kobe. Should he stay or should he go? Your call's at 1-800-520-1067. Before we get back to those, Psycho Mike, you've been grumbling about something in the back of the room. What do you got?
I have a ton of questions. But I was just curious, how much of this do you think, as an insider, is just Kobe kind of using the media to press the brass at the Lakers organization to make moves? Because, you know, traditionally, Mitch Kupchak has been reluctant to be a big money guy, to make that, you know, big gamble move.
I would say 99% of it is that.
That's what it is.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the things he said. He said, you know, I'm friends with these guys and Boozer and Baron Davis and Artest. They all want to come play in L.A., and I get excited because I think they're going to play in L.A. And then, you know, and these are the words of Kobe. And then Mitch says, oh, you know, Ron Artest is too much of a gamble, and Baron Davis is too injury-prone.
Right.
You know, Carlos Boozer is an undersized four. And, you know, he just felt like there was just one excuse after another when players were telling him, we want to come play with you. We want to come play in L.A.
It's a shame. It seems like the management should be the ones out in front, and the players should be playing. But instead, they're not doing much of anything. Yeah. I'm glad he's doing something to get their attention.
Yeah, and that's kind of that's the sentiment, I think, of a lot of people, is they feel like, you know, Mitch hasn't really done a whole lot. But in Mitch's defense, he hasn't been able to do a whole lot, you know? I mean, when he traded Shaq, he had to take back $30 million in salary, and that's kind of really strapped him. Now, the one thing that Mitch did that was not a good thing was he traded Caron Butler, who turned into an all-star, for Kwame Brown, who's been a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, Kwame Brown, not good.
Yeah, and that's the one thing. Although, have you noticed Kwame looks kind of like, you remember the first video from Snoop Dogg where he turned from a dog into Snoop?
Yeah.
He looks like the merge right before the dog became Snoop. So, but I have a for Kwame.
But that's not a positive, right?
Well, it is. But it doesn't really have any ability to play the game of basketball. It's something you can kind of lean back on and enjoy while he's
Yes,
out.
Psycho Mike, yes.
Oh, no.
You had something else.
I mean, I was also going to say, you mentioned, you know, Carlos Boozer, Ron Artest, guys like this. Also, you know, Kevin Garnett gets thrown in the mix a lot. When you're talking about Laker trades. How many of these trades, though, really aren't just a wash for the Lakers when you're talking about losing a guy like Lamar Odom? I mean, he's 6'11", he's rangy, and he's a 2010 guy usually. I mean, really, is that much of a big improvement?
I mean, yeah, trades are always just hypotheticals. Well, what if we gave up this? Could we get that? And that's the problem. It takes two teams to make the deal they want to make. The one deal that I think they could have done was the Baron Davis trade. And, I mean, you could argue that Baron was the MVP of these playoffs before the Golden State Warriors got bounced.
Right.
A, he had the best beard, and B, he just had meltdowns when the game got out of reach. That was kind of entertaining, too. But, you know, the Hornets traded Baron for nothing. They just wanted out from that contract.
Wow.
And, I mean, they literally got nothing in return that were pieces. So I think that was a deal that they could have made and just gave up, you know, a couple salaries that would have come off the books for the Hornets.
All right, let's say good morning to Oscar in Los Angeles. Hi, Oscar.
Morning, guys. Morning, Mr. May.
Good morning.
What do you think?
Hey, I was going to say, remember when Kobe got popped in Colorado for having his little extramarital affairs?
Yeah.
And then he rolled and said, hey, you know what? Shaq does it too.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Now, since that time, have the Lakers got any free agents? Do you think any free agent wants to come play with a guy who's a rat, who's going to turn around and tell your wife, hey, you're messing around on the road?
Well, I think there are those who say that, you know, and it goes beyond the whole Kobe's a snitch on Shaq thing. I think there are people that say that some players don't want to play with Kobe. And that was Ray Allen's big thing, you know, when he and Kobe were in a bit of a verbal sparring match, that he said, you know, people don't want to play with Kobe. He's a ball hog, and he's not a good teammate. That's why the Lakers will never be better, and he'll be asking for a trade. And this is what Ray said, you know, 3 years ago, and when he re-signed with that team. Shaq is a beloved member of the NBA players community. I mean, the players love that dude. And anytime something goes against Shaq, and I think Shaq was a big part of that in kind of purporting those myths of Kobe's a bad dude to be around. And maybe they're not myths. Maybe they are truth. I don't know. But I think that played into it as well. And there may be some truth that I don't know. You know, the Lakers haven't had an opportunity to sign a free agent. The last one they did was Vlad Radmanovic.
That went well.
Options and chose the Lakers. Yeah, you know, when
that's a good trade.
A guy who decides to try snowboarding for the first time in the middle of a season and separate a shoulder.
That's a good call, though, Oscar. Thanks for that. You
and
know,
by
buddy,
the way,
you yes,
guys. You know, my experience at the Kevin and Bean singles party allowed me to some degree to break that story. That there is no way that Vlad slipped on a patch of separated shoulder because I've been through this. I've been on those mean slopes.
You did it.
Separated a shoulder.
You know, you're absolutely right. Buddy, a few minutes ago, you talked about how you thought that the Shaq angle of this, although it seems like it's kind of old news, kind of got underreported a little bit when Kobe went out and said, look, I didn't have anything to do with Shaq leaving. They had already made the decision that they wanted to send him away. And I don't know how much it was covered, but Shaq was asked for comment yesterday. And he said, I believe Kobe. I believe Kobe 1,000% that he didn't have anything to do with it. So it does seem like at least finally that should be put to rest.
Yeah, I think so. I guess but because that will never be put to rest, I don't know if you would call them conspiracy theorists, but they said, you know, well, then why did Kobe sign with the Lakers the day after that trade was made? Why was it that day that he decided to sign when the trade was official and Shaq was gone?
But I got to tell you, it's not somebody else coming out and saying it. It's Shaq coming out and saying it. So
yes.
To me, I mean, that's – let me ask one more question. We're out of time, but Allie from Winnetka was going to ask, is the team building around Andrew Bynum? Are they going to keep him? Is he going to become a superstar? Are they going to trade him?
I'll tell you, that's exactly what this whole thing is built around, is the Lakers have one valuable trade piece. It is a 18-year-old kid that's 7 foot, 300 pounds, has great hands and great feet. And he's the only thing they have that could bring back an established all-star. And last year, the Jason Kidd deal, they said the snag was they didn't want to give up buying him. And I think that's where this whole thing revolves around. Kobe saying, look, I'm 28, I'm going on 29. This kid is 19 years old. He is not going to be a major player for 3 to 4 years. You got to get me something now. And they were saying no. And I think now they're going to have to say yes and use Bynum to bring back, you know, Jermaine O'Neal or, you know, a player of that caliber that wants out and the team wants to move. But that's what it's going to cost the Lakers. It's going to cost them Andrew Bynum.
And then when Bynum gets good, we're all going to go, oh, should have held on to him.
They're going to say, Kobe ran off Bynum, too.
That's exactly right.
All right. Former Sports Guy Money, thanks very much. 570 a.m. between 4 and 7 o'clock. That's Petros and Money, the PMS show, they call it. Thank you, Money.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now.
What about a pair of tickets for the Hollywood red carpet premiere of Ocean's 13 with all the stars that we have to give away just after 8 o'clock this morning? What about that, you guys?
I've got a pair to give away right here.
All right.
Lots of ways to win today. You can win them with me in each and every Showbiz Beat. And we'll also be playing a special edition of Lick Lisa in the next hour, so you can win.
Just after the top of the hour, as a matter of fact.
I've got a trivia question right now if you'd like to go. It is for the red carpet Hollywood premiere of Ocean's 13, which will be at Grauman's Chinese Theater. Quite an event. Earlier that day, around 11 o'clock, you should also be down there because right there in the courtyard at Grauman's Chinese Theater, they're going to do a special hand and footprint ceremony. Putting them in cement will be George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, the movie's producer, Jerry Weintraub. A very exciting event, and we'll be down there interviewing the guys that day. And I've just found out, and I wanted to let every K-Rock listener know, you should come on down because we will be picking one K-Rock listener to join us during that interview, so you'll get to hang out with us and George Clooney and Matt Damon and Brad Pitt and Jerry Weintraub.
You know, what's going to be funny is your big plan to become George Clooney's best friend is going to be subverted by the K-Rock listener who's going to be there and is going to become George Clooney.
Have you ever met any of our listeners?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But George and I will probably be going out for beers afterwards, so if you're cool, maybe we'll take you along.
The homosexual is right.
That's right. So here's your trivia question. It's a pretty cool one. What actor was originally slated to play Danny Ocean in Ocean's 11 before George Clooney took over the role?
What How actor? Could George Clooney have not been the first choice?
Because he wasn't?
How about that?
What actor was originally intended to play Danny Ocean in Ocean's 11 but had to drop out due to scheduling conflict?
Seth Green.
Adrian Zemed is right, Psycho Mike. You've ruined it for everyone by coming up with the correct answer. If you're the first caller through at 1-800-520-1067, you will get a pair of tickets to go see Ocean's 13 at the Red Carpet Hollywood premiere. But don't be dismayed if you don't win here, because as we've mentioned, coming up just after the top of the hour, a very special edition of Lick Lisa where you can win a pair, and then I'll have one more pair to give away later in the show today as well, so... It's a hot ticket. I get a lot of emails. A lot of people want to go to this.
Yep. Sure.
Sure.
Some young ladies especially would like to go.
I'm sure.
And some young ladies are sending me photographs that make me wish I had extra pairs of tickets to give to them. Yes.
Maybe you do. Maybe you don't have to give away the 9 o'clock pair.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Be subversive. Lindsay Lohan wasn't the only one throwing up Memorial Day weekend in front of everyone having her photo taken.
Who else?
Well, you know, they're also competitive. This whole crowd. Lindsay Lohan throws up in public at a nightclub. Now Britney Spears had to do it.
Aww.
Apparently she was also found heaving at Sky Bar on Sunday night.
Sweet!
After having what looked to be, well, let's say she was overserved.
Sure.
She was camped out in the men's bathroom, according to onlookers. Drunkenly apologizing profusely to the hotel staff, saying that things weren't, well, going well for her at the moment. A source told the London Sun newspaper she had makeup smeared all over her face and a wig was hanging half off. There was vomit down the front of her black dress and around her mouth.
Charming.
She's sexy.
Oh, man, not again.
That's Britney.
Yeah. Rock microphones were there. Who knew?
Oh, God.
Apparently, Britney had them play a CD track of vomit sounds while she just mouthed it while she was in the bathroom.
And the CD skipped?
She was lip syncing to the vomit. Oh, please, you're too kind. You're too kind. Nicole Richie's obsession with weight is ongoing. You know, they say she's got a problem again. She's dropped down to about 83 pounds. I know you've seen a photograph recently.
Oh, my God.
But she is freaking scary.
Yeah.
And I don't know. This kind of makes it sad. But she sent out an email invite to friends for a party over Memorial Day weekend. And she made a joke in the email how that girls over 100 pounds would not be allowed into the party. So start starving yourselves now, girls, because there will be a scale at the door.
Sure.
That would be marginally funny, I guess, if it wasn't for the fact that she's got an actual weight problem.
Yeah.
But apparently In Touch magazine got a copy of the Evite and are publishing it. So saying that she thinks it's still a source of humor, even though if you look at her, you realize it's
that's not
more tragic than funny.
We have a winner if you'd like, Ralph.
You go to the barbecue at Nicole Richie's house. There's certainly not going to be hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill. Let's face it. You pretty much got to bring your own, right?
Yeah, it's going to be like a pimento out of an olive. They'll be grilling that up and a wheat thin. That'll be pretty much your entire meal.
Lita in Granada Hills.
Hi.
Hi, Lita.
How are you?
I'm great. Who was supposed to play Danny Ocean before George Clooney got the role?
Bruce Willis.
It was supposed to be Bruce Willis. Yeah! You're right.
How about that?
Interesting. Yeah.
Bruce had to drop out to make, I don't know, Hudson Hawk or something. I don't know what the hell it was. But you're right. You got a pair of tickets to go see the red carpet premiere of Ocean's 13 on Tuesday, June the 5th.
Thank you so much.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details. And then, of course, Bruce Willis was one of the stars of Ocean's 12. He came back and was in that film.
Right.
As himself. Very funny role. Remember when he meets the girl pretending to be Julia Roberts?
Oh, yeah.
Who was Julia Roberts.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It was good times. Bobby Brown was performing at the Hamptons over the weekend. Very upscale section of New York. That's on Long Island, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And the New York Post says, while he was performing, he stopped singing right in the middle of My Prerogative because he forgot the words.
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, yes, he did.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He has one hit. If he got up there and just to sing one song, you'd think My Prerogative is one he could find his way to get through. But, wow. You know, you do enough drugs, and even the most familiar things start to escape you.
Everything goes bye-bye.
If you ever listen to any of our famous moments with Kevin, you would realize the evil effects that drugs can have
drugs
on your brain.
That's correct, yes.
This is your brain. This is Kevin's brain on drugs. Goes a little something like this.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Look, just because I bring shame on the English language does not mean that it's a bogus major. What I'm saying?
It's
sports information.
It's bogus with a T?
It's bogus.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin is a great guy.
Yes, he is.
He is not much of an entertainer.
Okay.
I beg to differ. I think he's an excellent entertainer. He entertains me endlessly.
Do not do drugs is what this is about.
Read more about it, won't you? Today's celebrity birthdays, Clint Eastwood, actor and director, 77 years old today. Tom Berenger. Very talented actor from The Big Chill, Major League. He was so good in Major League. I love that movie. I've probably seen Major League 100 times.
No possible way.
At least.
That movie?
At least 100
yes.
times.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
We got to do that topic of movies people have seen over 100 times.
I love that movie. I'm not even a baseball fan, but I love Major League.
Over 100 times?
Yeah.
That's an exaggeration.
No, I don't think it is. Given the times I've watched it personally on video... And then as many times as it's been on cable or HBO or something like that where I've been flipping
25
around.
25 is a lie.
No. I saw it like two or three times in the theater.
Wow.
He's 57 years old today. Brooke Shields, actress model, is 42. And Colin Farrell, one of our favorites around here on the Kevin and Bean Show. More for his drinking prowess, I think, than for his acting chops. He is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this beat.
Can I tell you guys why we rule, why we're the best, why we're number one?
I won't believe it, but you can try.
Because tomorrow morning we have tickets to the 2007 MTV Movie Awards hosted by our friend Sarah Silverman. That's going to be live this Sunday at 8 o'clock on MTV. That's tomorrow. Today, more tickets to join us for the red carpet Hollywood premiere of Ocean's 13 with all the stars. That's on Tuesday. We got those to give away right now with a special Ocean's 13 edition of Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard.
Yeah.
But if you do lick Lisa,
yeah,
something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, 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 but keep clear of her vagina.
Aww. Always that
Damn
rule.
It.
Always.
Nope. I know.
It's just
so
not
disappointing.
That much
Sister
fun.
Producer Alex is here to lick.
Nope.
What do you mean nope?
What do you mean nope?
Not if, unless I can get box, I'm out. Sorry.
No, those are the rules. Look, we don't make the rules. We just play by them.
I don't think anyone can see.
I want to pick carpet out of my teeth later.
Oh, there's no carpet.
Fantastic.
Alex. No carpet.
Oh, awesome.
You're going to eat her head.
Slip and slide. Yeah. I'm in.
Wow, this has just gotten suddenly way better.
All right. Let's play.
here's the way the game is played, folks. I'm going to ask the questions as I understand it, and the callers are going to be on the line, and the answer is always going to be a number. That's what we're looking for. We go to Lisa first. She gives us the number, and then the caller just has to say whether they agree with that number, it's right on, or they think the correct answer is higher or lower. If you're right, if you lick Lisa, then Alex gets to actually lick Lisa in person in the studio, and we put you in the drawing, and someone at the end is going to win tickets to join us on the red carpet with all the cast members from Ocean's 13 next Tuesday for the big Hollywood premiere of the movie. So I think I have that all right.
Yes. Let's begin with Josh in Moreno Valley. Good morning, Josh.
Morning, guys.
You ready to lick Lisa?
Go for it.
All right.
All right, listen up. Again, remember, Josh, Lisa answers first. Here's question number one. The Ocean's trilogy features, of course, the very talented Casey Affleck, who is the younger brother of Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck, of course, Matt Damon's childhood friend and writing partner. How many films have Matt and Ben appeared in together, Lisa?
Oh, interesting.
How many films together?
I'm going to say three.
All right, three. Josh, is that the exact right answer, or is the right answer higher or lower?
I'm going to say higher. I think it's four.
I think it is higher, and I think it's seven, if you can believe it. Seven movies going all the way back, according to IMDb, to Field of Dreams, which I had no idea that either of them were in, obviously, when they were unknowns back in the day.
Wow, me neither.
But they were in School Ties. Of course, Good Will Hunting is where most of us found out about them. Chasing Amy, Dogma, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and, of course, Jersey Girl. So congratulations, you're in the drawing for the tickets. Alex, you get to lick Lisa.
And congratulations to me.
Yes!
Oh, nice. That was sweet.
Hey, they're faking it.
We are not.
I'm not.
She licked me right here.
They're faking the licking.
All the way to my mouth.
No fake licking.
She did it.
No fake licking.
What is wrong with you?
No fake licking.
Over there. All right.
No fake licking.
Give me.
All right. Better. Okay, now we can move on. Let's go to Jeff in Pomona. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Jeff.
Jeff, if there was ever a day you should be in the studio, today's the day, my friend. But sadly, you're not. You still have a shot at the tickets. Listen up. Here's the question. Lisa answers first. In Ocean's 13, Al Pacino portrays a character named Willie Bank, a ruthless owner who oversees the Bank Casino. Lisa, your question. How many square feet is Las Vegas's largest casino, the MGM Grand?
Wow.
How many square feet? You can get lost in there for a week or two.
Yeah.
You can never find your friends. Square feet.
40,000 square feet.
40,000 square feet. Is that exactly right, Jeff, or is the real answer higher or lower?
Higher.
Yeah, they got bathrooms that are 40,000 square feet, Lisa. We were looking for 171,500 square feet.
Oh,
so congratulations, yeah. Jeff. You're in the drawing. Alex, you get to lick Lisa.
Yes.
All right. Don't fake it. Thank you.
Much better. Like chicken.
She tastes like chicken.
More like fish.
That's a surprise.
I'm not more like fish, apparently.
David in Newport Beach. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good.
Thank you.
All right, listen up. Here's your question. Lisa, you answer first. We're looking for a number. Sadly, back in March, the great Bernie Mac said on the David Letterman Show that he plans to retire from his 30-year career after he finishes shooting his new comedy, The Whole Truth, Nothing But the Truth, So Help Me Mac. Here's your question. How much did a McDonald's Big Mac cost in 1972?
Big Mac, 1972.
Have any reason why you would know the answer to this question. Not useful information necessarily.
79 cents.
Okay.
79 cents.
Is that exactly right, or is the real answer higher or lower, David?
It's lower.
Yeah. Only 49 cents back then. Congratulations. You're in the drawing, Alex. You get to lick Lisa.
Sorry, Alex. I'm just not really
your
doing
boobs
well
are covered
today.
Up.
Don't fake it. Lean over. There you go. Okay, that's now we're talking. Well,
what is that? Vanilla? Jasmine?
I don't know.
It's jasmine, I can say. All right, let's go to Dennis in Canoga Park.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Dennis.
Please get it right.
Yeah, a lot of licking going on here, and I think Lisa's starting to throw the game, to tell you the truth. USA Today called Cirque du Soleil's Zumanity at New York, New York, and Las Vegas, quote, the sexiest, most erotic show in Vegas, end quote. Between them, Lisa, how many times have George Clooney and Brad Pitt, the stars of Ocean 13, been named People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive? Between the two of them, how many covers?
Five.
Five times Sexiest Man Alive between the two of them, all right?
Higher, lower, or the same, Dennis?
I'm going to say lower.
Yeah, it's actually four, twice apiece. Clooney in 97 and 06, Pitt in 2094. Congratulations,
left?
You're also in the drawing.
Gonna give me
what do you
ass?
Mean, what's left? Oh, she's pulling up her shirt now. This is getting even better. I love the listeners.
Seriously, that lotion is good. What
Thank
is that?
You.
Ben Gay.
All right, I think we have time for just maybe one more contestant, one more question, and lick Lisa.
All right, let's go to Blake in Redlands. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys.
By the way, everybody we've talked to has won so far.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That doesn't happen often. So, no. Blake, good luck, man. Don't blow the streak. Brad Pitt met Angelina Jolie on the set of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Since then, Brad and Angelina have one pesky biological child and three awesome adopted kids. To date, Lisa, here's your question. How many tattoos has Angelina received?
Oh, wow.
What tattoos does she have?
I'm going to say seven.
Higher, lower, or the same, Blake?
Lower.
Well, more like 17 is how many tattoos Angelina Jolie
has. That's crazy.
17.
Oh,
she's got a dragon. She's got a cross. She's got a Buddhist protection prayer. She's got an initial for her brother, a Tennessee Williams quote, a Latin quote. Just it goes on and on and on and on and on. But I'm sorry you do not get to hear us lick Lisa and you don't get to win the tickets. But thanks for playing the game anyway.
Wow, what a downer.
Man,
dude, we're on a roll.
It's good she's tall.
Let's have her lick again just for fun. Who's
you
in?
You can't do that.
Huh?
It's not in the rules.
Oh, man. Sorry. All right, the winner of the drawing and the winner of the tickets.
Hey, yo, check this out. And the winner is...
David in Newport Beach.
Woo! Awesome.
Congratulations, David.
Thank
you.
You win. You get to go see the premiere of Ocean's 13 with the cast.
Sick.
Way to go, man. Hold on, okay?
All right, cool.
And thanks for helping us lick Lisa.
Lick, lick Lisa. Lick, lick Lisa. But keep clear of her vagina.
Funny, I had a dream last night that we were playing Afro Man because I got high.
No.
There's no way, right?
No. That is the type of thing that is, well, really more of a nightmare than
a dream. That's crazy.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show Thursday morning, 8:27. You remember we had Judd Apatow on last week, who is the genius behind this new film called Knocked Up. And we said, what about that young man who stars in the film with Katherine Heigl? What about that Seth Rogen? He says, I can hook you up. Ladies and gentlemen, Seth Rogen in the studios, the world famous K-Rock right now.
Hello.
Hey, Seth, how are you, man?
I'm very well. I'm looking. It's Tom Berenger's birthday too.
Yes, yeah. It is.
We made the mistake of leaving the birthday list over by him.
You left it near me. I'm amazed by all this.
He's got my.
He's got my one of these every day.
He's got my attention deficit disorder problem.
It's true. I really just want to know every day what famous person's birthday it is for no reason.
So, Seth, yes. How do you feel? I mean, you've been involved in a lot of TV, a lot of movies, but this one has got to feel a little bit different when you're the. You're the star. You're the guy. You're the guy they're going to point to if it sucks this weekend,
sucks,
right?
That's all I've been thinking. I'm the one who will get blamed for this movie's failure.
Because it can't be her.
Exactly.
Katherine Heigl's too hot.
No, exactly.
Oh,
people
yeah.
love her. She's on a popular show. She's
right.
never failed,
right.
really. I've failed many times. Many times. With Judd.
Tell us how you got hooked up with Judd Apatow in the beginning. You came down here just to be in the business? Is that how it worked?
I actually met him in Vancouver.
Oh, you did, in Vancouver.
I auditioned. I was dropping out of high school because I'm stupid and unmotivated.
No, that's a good move.
It is a good move. I think it does wonders.
And that's what you tell your young fans when
exactly.
they ask, is go ahead and drop out
just
of school.
Just drop
right?
out. Follow your
okay.
dreams.
Okay.
Although even if they're hazy, follow them. And I auditioned for Freaks and Geeks from Vancouver, and he was there. He was
How about that?
He was laughing. It was weird. And
he was really didn't have the name he has today, obviously.
He didn't. I had no idea who he was. But he's one of those guys that, like, even if you didn't know his name, you knew a lot of the stuff he'd done. Like,
right.
I liked the Larry Sanders Show a lot. And I knew he'd done, like, work on Adam Sandler's movies, like Happy Gilmore and stuff like that. Just kind of punch-up stuff.
Yeah.
But I worship that stuff, you know.
So then Freaks and Geeks comes along.
Yeah. And we did that. And it got canceled.
It's a fantastic show that got canceled.
Thank you very
much.
Yeah, that's what's weird about TV is you can have a really good show and then they just put you on like Saturday night at 8 and
gone.
It's done. You're like, oh, the second it's on, like, oh, we're done. It hasn't even aired yet. You just know, like, oh, no one's going to watch that. Like, when you know that, like, you don't even want to watch it at that time, that it's a really bad time slot. You're like, it's me, and I'm the most self-involved person on earth, and I'd rather do something else than watch this.
And there's no TiVo credit.
Exactly.
For ratings. So
no
if people
TiVo.
Record it, it doesn't
Which
help.
Which is absurd.
That's
and
absurd.
That, and that
yeah.
has got to change.
Wow.
But Seth, here's what I got to ask. Because for folks who can't picture Seth, picture the dweeb in high school that you guaranteed was never going to make anything of his life. That's Seth Rogen. Okay.
That's the me.
Guy. It's the guy you picture. What was, I mean, it sounds to me from what little I've read about you in this spate of interviews you've been doing for this movie that you didn't have any kind of a backup plan. It was always you were going to make it in show business, right? I mean, this was all you planned on ever doing.
Yeah, I was either going to do this or rob all of you, probably. not specifically, but I would probably have to rob people.
We'll see
for
how
money.
It goes this weekend.
Exactly.
You know,
go see the movie, or I may carjack you.
But you know, that's a lot of chutzpah. That's a lot of confidence in a young, you know, a man who's you know
or
a kid
naive.
Who's 10, 11, 12
idiot.
Years old.
Yeah,
yeah. One or the other. There's a fine line.
He's young.
There's a very fine line. I might be the dumbest person. I guess we'll see.
Dumbest slash luckiest.
New York.
Exactly.
New York critic David Edelstein. Did you hear what he called you? He
no.
called you the Pavarotti of stoner losers.
Wow. That's pretty good,
so
I guess.
I guess that's
what does
good.
That mean? I don't know what that does. It means
compliment
I'm...
and a slap.
It was kind
exactly.
of, it was kind of a complimentary review of the movie.
Yeah.
That's good.
But the Pavarotti of stoner losers, you could just focus on the Pavarotti part.
Exactly.
Sure.
Well, the fat part of that is all I hear. All I hear is like a fat Italian.
Fat stoner loser.
Exactly.
Now, did you, you have a producer role on this film as
yes.
well, right? On the Knocked Out. Okay. So does that mean that you had something to do with the brilliant idea to put Katherine Heigl in the movie?
I'd say I had something to do with it.
No,
yeah,
that's fantastic.
That was a good call. Right?
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you all. I've been a fan of Under Siege 2 Dark Territory for many, many years.
Yeah.
That was probably my first experience with Heigl.
And you weren't going to be in the movie until you found out she was going to be in it. And
exactly.
then you said, I'm the kisser.
You know what? I'll take this one, guys.
Take
Stop the auditions. I'll do this.
Tell Tell us everything there is to know about spending your days with Catherine Heigl. Is it awesome?
We need to take a break.
No, we're not taking a break.
When we get back, you can tell us about spending every day with Catherine Heigl.
You're so mean.
Plus, we have some clips. It's Knocked Up. It comes in theaters tomorrow, June 1st, and we will be right back with Seth Rogen after this. We have Seth Rogen in the studio. The new movie is Knocked Up. It opens tomorrow. And Bean's question just before the break was, tell us what it's like to spend all day every day with Catherine Heigl.
It's a dream wrapped in butter with chocolate on it. It's nice. She's cool. She's very sweet and hilarious and beautiful. And she can curse very well.
Oh, good.
And we argue a lot throughout the movie, and we kind of improv a lot. So, you know, the director would just say, like, kind of argue how you argue in real life. And I remember thinking, like, thank God I'm not marrying this woman. Like,
she's
like,
good.
She's really good. Like, she'd be very wrong, and she'd still win the argument just because of how like pretty and scary she is. Like,
the movie is about you and her. You play kind of a loser. She plays kind of a hottie.
Yeah.
You meet.
Basically it.
You have sex. She gets pregnant. And that's what the movie's about. This is, I have a couple of clips. This is you telling her about where you come from.
I'm Canadian.
Oh, that's cool.
From Vancouver. I live here illegally, actually. Don't tell anyone. But, it works out in my advantage, I think, ultimately, because I don't have to pay any taxes. So, financially, that's helpful. Because I don't have a lot of money, you know. I mean, I'm not poor or anything, but I eat a lot of spaghetti.
He's a guy who doesn't know when to shut up.
Yeah,
that's
what's
awesome about this character.
Ramble, ramble, ramble. He's trying to make it better, but you can tell he's making it worse with every word.
That's what I really do in real life. I don't know when to stop.
Not much of a stretch for you then?
No, not at all. There are moments in this movie where it literally, I don't know if they shot them for the movie or if it's old footage of me just hanging out, but it's really terrifying how close to my real life it is. It's humiliating.
Oh, that's bad.
I probably shouldn't ask this question because I'll want to see it in the movie. But you know, your first thought is, why do these two with the one night stand who have nothing in common, why do they decide, hey, we're going to try to make it work and have a kid together? That just seems like that doesn't happen.
That's the movie, man.
Bad decision on her part.
Exactly, because she has a very ill-informed moment.
It does happen every once in a while. Yeah, you always see those people out. You go, how? What? What's going on?
And
there?
Then they say pregnant.
Exactly. Go, okay. Yeah, that's kind of, it's exactly what it is. You know, it's about two people who kind of decide to give it a shot. That's really the whole...
Here's Seth as Ben Stone talking about how he pays his bills.
How do I pay rent? When I was in high school, I got ran over by a postal truck.
Oh, my God.
It was my foot more than anything. But I got like 14 grand from the British Columbia government. Right. And that really lasted me. I mean, until now. I mean, it's been almost 10 years. I have like 900 bucks left. So that should last me for like... I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but like another 2 years.
That's about right.
Now,
right?
Seth, you're only 25 years old, right?
Yes.
Okay. So from what I understand, when you hold a baby in the movie, that's it. That's the first time you've ever held a baby in your life.
Pretty much, yeah.
Scary, isn't it?
It's horrifying. I felt like Lenny from Of Mice and Men all of a sudden. It was just like,
don't squeeze.
I just transformed into this giant oaf who just, I just thought I would pop it. I just thought I'd pop the thing. It was horrifying. Their heads are soft. Yeah. I'm clumsy.
They're fragile, right?
They're just fragile and impressionable.
Yep.
It's afraid like all curse in front of it, and then that's like going to be their first word.
I had twins.
Really?
I had twin babies, and I was scared out of my mind for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. It's still scary.
Like, I don't want to touch them. I'm afraid I'll break them.
Exactly. Kind of it's like wearing a nice watch. It's like driving someone else's expensive car.
Exactly.
That's kind of what I felt.
You know,
like,
that's the day you're going to get dinged.
Exactly.
Now, do they have a baby wranglers
or
something
on the
set?
They got a baby wrangler, yeah. They got candy at the end of sticks, and they kind of lure them around the set.
Bring in Cesar Milan, the dog whisperer, to get them to do what they want.
People give you their baby to hold. It's the weirdest
thing
ever.
That's just wrong.
And it's like, they got a few babies, because you can only have a baby on set for like 5 minutes or something like that.
Right.
So, they got like a line of mothers and their similar-looking babies. Exactly. Bring in the next one.
What about those crazy parents that are trying to get their 4-month-old in show business? What are they all about?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they... the kids have no idea what's happening, so maybe it's just a good way to make some cash.
Dude, what movie? It's college fund, right?
Exactly.
No, not for a baby,
if you
think.
Invested then,
I wonder what these
could.
Babies make.
Maybe. I don't know.
couple million a pick. They got big. They got good back end babies. Right. Yeah, sweet back end deals.
They don't really make money till Sunday of the opening weekend, and it starts pouring in.
They'll see it though.
Now, your pal Paul Rudd is in this movie, who is hilarious.
Yes, he is.
Who else is in it that that we know? I'm looking for every opportunity to get people to go out and see it this weekend. Give them all the reasons you can think of.
Leslie Mann is in it, who is many of you know her probably as the drunk driving woman in the 40-year-old virgin.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh,
yes.
Says French toast. That's my favorite joke in the whole movie. Ryan Seacrest is in it, and you should see it for no other reason than he is funny in the movie.
That's not possible.
Exactly. That's what you
who
say.
Who plays Ryan?
We have a young Dakota Fanning. No, Ryan Seacrest does. And he's actually funny.
Somebody wrote him a good line.
Exactly. No, he riffed it. And I know you're thinking that's impossible. Go see it just for that.
I think he's a homosexual.
Well, yes. Maybe. But the last ad lib he had was this. Is American Idol. That was it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what he says. He milks it.
Look, I'm going to go to the movie despite the fact that he's in it.
Exactly.
That didn't help me, but I'm going anyway for you.
I think you'll go. Catherine. You will hate yourself for laughing. You will find yourself laughing, and you'll think, okay, I'm laughing at Ryan Seacrest right now.
All right. I'm willing to risk that. Catherine Heigl's there. I'm willing to risk it.
And Catherine Heigl's there. She's beautiful. Bill Hader from SNL is in it very briefly, though, but he's very funny. Harold Ramis plays my father in the movie.
No kidding. You're a little Harold Ramis-y, if that's a word.
Well, you see us on screen together, and A, it's more Jew maybe ever on than ever has been on screen ever in a movie. It's a lot of Jew.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It adds up to one big Jew?
Exactly. It's like all of Schindler's List in one shot. That's how much Jew it is in that one frame of film.
Seth, do you leave all your Canadian friends behind? Do you still keep in touch with them? I mean, do you call any of them and go, yeah, living in Hollywood doing movies?
I talk to them all the time. My best friend from Canada is one of the executive producers on the movie. And my writing partner.
But he didn't do anything? He's just living at your house on the floor?
He's just crashing. He eats Cheerios off my floor. I talk to my friends all the time. I'm sure a lot of them just screamed that I was lying right now.
Sure, Hey, what about me? You haven't talked to me.
Exactly, jerks.
Well, I like to ask that question because I know that if I ever make it, I'm not going to talk to any of them.
Exactly.
I'm the kind of guy who's going to just change my phone number and they'll never hear from me again, but that hasn't happened yet. So you're one of the good guys, I guess.
Yeah, I get phone calls from people just to see if I have the same phone number. It's like, you're not famous yet, but I just want to make sure if you do get famous, I can call you.
But when you get famous, you're going to change it.
Well, yeah, that's when I'll change it.
Seth Rogen in Anchorman and the 40-Year-Old Virgin, Yumi and Dupree, Shrek the Third, and now Knocked Up, which looks fantastic, and it opens tomorrow in theaters near you. Thanks for coming in, Seth.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good time.
Totally appreciate it.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
Ralph's just putting on his headphones. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
Well, Lindsay Lohan, big news.
Guilty.
She, of course, is in rehab. Now her dad says that she's undergoing detox for more than just alcohol. He's a good dad, this dad. He'll just tell you anything you want to know about her.
That's excellent.
Just right off the cuff. He shoots from the hip.
Good to see her family circling the wagons.
Yeah. Lindsay is not only undergoing detoxification for alcohol, but for multiple addictions, claims her dad, Michael Lohan. Alcohol and drugs, including the powerful painkiller OxyContin.
Oh, no. She's a whore.
Wow.
Whore.
And, of course, there was cocaine at the scene of the accident that they believe Lindsay may have been partaking in that as well.
You look like a whore.
You back to your home on Whore Island.
So, seems to be a
OxyContin.
Panoply.
That's
of drugs.
Super serious.
OxyContin is one of those that's 24-hour. You take one pill for 24 hours, but they mash it up.
Or you mash it up, right.
And then it works well.
Yeah, put in your applesauce.
Then you end up in rehab.
So, meanwhile, we were talking to Harvey Levin about this yesterday, Kevin, if you remember correctly. I asked him, what was up with the fact that she was reportedly boozing at all these joints before? I mean, she was being driven around, apparently, that evening for her accident, but even before she got behind the wheel, why was she, at 20 years old, is she boozing at all these joints?
That's been normal.
Well, California officials have announced they are investigating whether Lindsay Lohan was illegally served alcohol at Ledoux, the nightclub in West Hollywood where she was spotted partying before her accident.
Wow, they're all over this story.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Wait a minute. There's underage celebrities in these bars? We are looking right into it.
It's like they ignore it until they just can't ignore it anymore.
California's Department of Alcohol Beverage Control, the ABC, has confirmed that they're investigating whether she and some other underage friends were served alcohol illegally. Here's what Ledoux, the club itself, had to say in the statement. We have and will continue to work closely with the ABC to make sure alcohol is consumed by responsible people of legal drinking age in a responsible manner.
Right. Sure.
Ledoux's a restaurant. There's no age limit for our patrons. Lindsay had dinner at Ledoux that night and waited for friends to pack up their DJ supplies, thus leaving Ledoux after closing. Because of the enormous paparazzi presence outside of Ledoux that night, we allowed her to stay and wait for her friends.
Oh.
She was not drinking at Ledoux.
What was she doing? Just waiting?
Waiting for friends. She just had dinner. You know those celebutants, they can just pack away the food.
Oh, sure. Well, she looks like it, right?
They eat, eat, eat. That's all they do. They go out and they just eat. So that's the official statement from Ledoux. We'll have to wait and see what the ABC comes up with.
Very funny that the ABC is now acting like it's important. It's a story.
Oh, no, we're right on top of that. Because we asked Harvey yesterday. Remember, he had the photos of Jesse McCartney. He was the one drinking the Corona at 18 or whatever in that club.
At least a year ago, right?
Oh, we'd known about this for a couple of years, at least.
And the ABC says, oh, we're looking into it. Yeah. We're like, what?
If you're one of these restaurants or clubs, it's probably worth rolling the dice if it's not being readily enforced and if you'll get the publicity every time Lindsay Lohan has a party at your house, you know, in your place.
Yeah, of course. But it's against the law. Sure. And like Harvey says, some mom-and-pop liquor store, God forbid, sells a sixer to somebody who's 20 and 7/8.
Yeah.
And doesn't check ID, bum, they're closed.
Yeah.
Bum.
Or say there's a guy at a 7-Eleven, he goes in and buys some beer for some kids outside.
That's just irresponsible.
That's crazy.
As an adult, you should know
they
better.
Bust him.
That's all I'm saying. A person like that would have to learn his lesson.
Happened to Ralph.
George Michael had a combination of drugs in his system when he was found slumped at the wheel of his car in London last year. Still Boy George. That song is still by Boy George, not George Michael.
Not George Michael. Okay.
No, he was, of course, the lead singer of Wham for many years and had lots of solo hits.
But not War Is Stupid.
Like Careless Whisper.
Okay.
Those kind of songs.
All right, sorry.
Apparently, George had a lethal combination.
Lethal?
Of GHB and antidepressants in his bloodstream at the time he was popped. We all thought he was just stoned. Apparently there was also some traces of marijuana in his system, although he also had sleeping pills in his bloodstream.
My God.
So, little of everything.
Pot, sleeping pills, GHB, and antidepressants. That's
okay.
What was there.
That's a recipe for sleep.
That's a recipe for death.
That's a recipe for
right
long
there.
Sleep.
So, yeah, that's what they finally did his blood tests, and the results came back, and that's what he was dealing with when they picked him up in London. So
now, Ralph, is that more of a panoply in that case, or is that closer to a cornucopia?
I'd say it was a plethora.
Plethora. Okay.
Plethora, I would say. Sure.
Somebody's windows just opened.
That's me. I'll get that.
Okay. And Bobby Brown was performing over the weekend at the Hamptons in New York when he was performing My Prerogative, of course, his smash hit, probably his best-known single. He got to the second verse and stood there on stage and stopped singing because he forgot the words.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I'm sure he was sober as a judge as well.
Oh, my God.
Perhaps it's his new love that's distracting him. Apparently, before the concert, he was spotted making out with his new girlfriend, Alicia Etheridge. That's Alicia Etheridge, not Melissa Etheridge.
I was going to say.
Very different. In the back of a truck. Back of a pickup truck. They were on the bed of a pickup truck making out.
Serious.
For a half an hour before the show.
Wow.
And someone had to come out and say, Bobby, you have to get on stage.
Wow.
So he got out of the bed of the pickup truck from making out with his new sleazy girlfriend to get on stage to forget his words.
Wow.
Well, he doesn't have even an apartment to bring her back to now. He can only make out in cars.
Good times with him.
His star has never shone brighter. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, by the way, I'd like to mention, for those of you who are expecting more tickets for Ocean's 13, I'll have more tomorrow.
Oh, there you go.
But also, we're going to have tickets to give away to the MTV Movie Awards tomorrow.
Ooh,
which
that's
will
right.
be quite a bash this weekend. Sarah Silverman, of course, is the host. Always a star-studded event. So, a lot of good reasons to tune in tomorrow to the Kevin and Bean Show. Today's celebrity birthdays, Clint Eastwood, actor and director, 77 years old today. Colin Farrell, actor and drinker, is 31 years old today. Brooke Shields, actress and model, is 42 years old today. Tom Berenger, actor and actor, is 57 years old today. And Joe Namath,
yes,
actor and former drinker, is 64. Excuse me, football player, actor, and former drinker is 64 years old.
Today. What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Yeah, that's before he stopped drinking.
Yeah, and then the reporter went on to say,
tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Sad.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
Huh? I'll be fine.
I'll be fine. Tonight, by the way, I believe is the season debut of America's Got Talent.
Oh, fantastic. So, Hasselhoff is going to pass judgment on other people.
Maybe the Hoff will come out and perform for us.
We can only hope.
This is a mess. Ralph Garman, walk the showbiz beat.
You can email any of us here on the show. All of the email addresses are up and available at krock.com. By the way, this might be a good opportunity to say, if you get any kind of emails about gas boycotts on a day or at a particular service station, go ahead and shove those up your hiney. Go ahead and do that instead of sending them along.
Wow.
Bean's a guy that does not suffer those gladly. He really takes offense at those.
And yet, well, oddly, he likes the jokes. He likes the internet jokes. He likes to be forward those. I'll get that in a second.
He loves jokes.
You're retarded if you think those things work at this point. You know what I mean? So don't do it, is what I'm saying.
Like the venom.
But you can email us on any other topic if you want. Here's one that comes from K-Rock listener Mike is writing to us. And I guess I didn't even realize that we're right around the corner from the holidays. But listen to what Mike has to say. Hey, Kevin and Bean, love the show. Do you know what today is? I bet you don't. That's right. It's 175 days till the Butterball Turkey Hotline call, ladies and gentlemen. It's right around the corner. Come on.
Come on. Seriously.
This year, though, this is the year. Kevin, I know it usually blows, but this is the year it's going to be good.
Last year was never worse. She hung up on us. Dear Kevin and Bean, I never thought I would say this, but thank God you had Jiggy on your show.
Hello.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
The Ducks are up 2-0 in the series. I can't believe we needed you guys for good mojo. Thanks, John.
You had a shutout last night.
You're welcome, John. Thank you for recognizing.
I think it's in spite of rather than cause of.
Oh, how dare you. All I know is Jiggy has talked to us before every round of the playoffs, and here we are in the fourth and Stanley Cup Finals.
Please do not tempt fate here.
Oh.
Please do not start crawling yet.
Wait till it's over?
Because you talked to him in 2003, too. All I know is the Devils were skating around with the cup at the end of that series. So let's just hold our horses.
That wasn't our fault.
It wasn't us.
No, of course not.
Speaking of sports, of course, we've been spending a lot of time the last couple days talking about Kobe Bryant. He's been doing some interviews where he talks about how he's not happy, doesn't want to be with the Lakers, blah, blah, blah. He was on a radio show in New York City yesterday. He was interviewed by a guy named Stephen Smith, who was asked, is there anything the Lakers could do to change his mind? Kobe's quote, no, I just want them to do the right thing. This emailer, Geb, writes in and says, I don't know why this isn't getting more press, but when he was asked if he had a preference for a trade destination, Kobe said these words, at this point, I'll go play on Pluto. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that Pluto,
he did say
back
that
in the news as the destination for Kobe Bryant.
He did say that, and I had a sick stomach knowing that that would make Bean very happy.
Yeah. How about that Pluto?
I'm just saying.
At this
Pluto
point,
is
I'd
there.
Go play on Pluto. That is
I
what
think
he
was saying things were so bad at the Lakers that he would play even in the worst possible place he could imagine.
Exactly.
Pluto is what he was saying.
I'm going to say my interpretation was that Pluto is one franchise player away from winning it all. They got a pretty good team, but they need a guy like Kobe who could really score some points.
Dear Kevin and Bean, since they have a new CD, I was wondering if you guys would be interviewing Linkin Park anytime soon. Cody.
We should really get around to that.
Sons of bitches that don't listen. Talk to them like 15 times. Not enough for this guy.
Had him on a lot.
Hey, why don't you guys talk to them?
And they headlined the Weenie Roast less than 2 weeks ago. So yeah. I think we've acknowledged that Linkin Park is back. Thank you very much. And one more. Hey, guys, I don't know who to talk to about this, but Rodney Bingenheimer really scares the crap out of me.
All right.
Rodney's here with us now. How about
show,
that,
Rodney? 106.7 K-Rock. No,
it's still our show. We're just doing an email about you, Rodney.
Coming up next, Brian Wilson.
No, hang on, Rodney. Listen to what Ted has to say here. He scares the crap out of me. He's so freaky looking. Is he half alien or something? Why does he sound like he's high on animal tranquilizers all the time?
All right. You know, once David Bowie asked me that, why I look like an alien? Mm-hmm. I said, I don't know, but you should be like an alien, Ziggy Stardust. Right.
That was your idea? You're the one who came up with it?
I think so.
Guys, I want to know if there's a petition or anything that I can sign that would erase his total existence on K-Rock. I'm not just trying to get him kicked off the radio. I want to have my mind erased of the fact that he ever existed. Aww. I am desperate for a mind erase. Can you please help, Ted? I don't know that we have that technology, unfortunately, to make you forget Rodney. I'm sorry.
All right. Mind erase. You can get a mind erase you listen to the Bangles enough. Right, Manic Monday coming up next. Manic Monday.
We can send that Jamaican from Heroes over.
Rodney on the Rock.
Racist mind.
He's Haitian.
Even Haitian, sorry.
Even Rodney knows that. Not Jamaican. It's a different power. Jamaican sorry. Makes you rum drink.
That's
out
right.
Of, out of the air.
That's right. Thank you, Rodney. Say one more thing.
Rodney and the Rock Show.
Good night, Los Angeles!
Oh, yeah!
Had some air guitar going on here in the studio. It's 9:40. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
Speaking of Wolf Mother, by the way, they're one of the great bands that's playing the Bonnaroo Music Festival in Manchester, Tennessee, one of the biggest music festivals in the world every year. This year, it's June 14th through the 17th. Tool is there, White Stripes, the Reunited Police, Franz Ferdinand, so much more. You'd like to think we're going to give away a trip right now for somebody to go see that? No. iTunes gift card so that you can buy some of those songs on iTunes. That's what you get for calling in right now. 1-800-520-1067.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be way cool to go.
If you did go, that would be super cool.
But since you're not going, you can buy yourself that song for 99 cents that we just heard.
Exactly.
Was that Wolf Mother we just played?
Who was speaking of Wolf Mother?
That was Muse. That's who that was.
That's what I thought.
Muse. Okay. All right. Wayne.
I only hear the last 2 seconds of the song, so sometimes I just guess.
Not for you.
Wayne and Irvine, good morning.
What's up? What it do, nephew?
What it do? What's up?
Yo. What's cracking, lacking, Lisa?
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, check it out. I was in Havasu last weekend. Just bought me a boat. And, man, I just had some Kettle One, some vodka, and some beads. Got my first foursome ever.
Foursome?
Oh, foursome. Like
now,
thank you.
Was that made up with two guys and two girls? That's the devil's foursome. Or one guy and three girls?
Or you and three guys?
No. Oh, man, no. Three girls, man. Six pairs of fun bags, man.
Three girls. Nice.
Really?
Spectacular.
Oh. Man, it was like clam chowder. It was,
How many? How many of us believe Wayne?
No.
See, show of hands.
Not me.
I'm from Hollywood, man. You know, I originally from Hollywood. I live in Irvine now.
Right.
I got nothing to lie about.
Did
man.
You take a picture?
I'll send you some pictures.
Wait a minute. You used to live in Hollywood, so now you live in Irvine, so you have nothing to lie about.
That's right. Can't move from Hollywood to Irvine and lie.
I don't know what that means.
I did.
Send us some pictures, Wayne, and you'll be our hero.
Oh, I'll send you the pics.
All right. Send me the pics.
All right.
Hold on.
I'd like to know if all three of the girls were wiggers as well. Or if it was just,
yeah. I thought maybe it was that. Black until it was like, and I was in Havasu. I was like, oh, there's no brothers in Havasu.
I'd be shocked if that dude got one girl, much less two.
That's
and then three? Come on.
Yeah, there's not enough Grey Goose and champagne in
although,
the world.
Although, you know, in Havasu, come on. Nick and Orange, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, Nick.
So I was listening to the radio, and I just heard an advertisement for So You Want to Be a Pirate.
So You Want to Be a Pirate?
Yes.
What, a new TV show?
Apparently on CBS2, they're going to have a new, like, Survivor style,
well,
So You Want to Be
a
Pirate.
I think it's called
Pirate Master.
Pirate Master is what it's called.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And what,
same thing, though.
What is it? It's Survivor?
Survivor pirate themed. Everybody's on a boat, and they have to find treasure.
Okay. And they're saying, we don't know when we're going to eat. And they had one girl on there flipping out. I don't know when I'm going to eat. Yar.
Arr.
Oh, no.
Can I hear your pirate sound again, Nick?
Oh, I have a better one. I was just making fun of that girl.
Yeah, let's
the
hear
good
it.
One is yar. But she was like, yar.
Hard to argue with yar. Hold on.
Yeah.
Things get so rough, they have to eat their parrot. Sometimes things get on the boat.
Remarkably, that is a new Mark Burnett show. He is actually the guy behind it. He's cannibalizing his own survivor for this, yeah.
Yes.
About that. Alfonso in Norwalk, good morning.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
Shemay.
Hey, Alfonso.
So I was at the water slide park yesterday, and I was coming down that big one, and you know when your water goes right up your shorts?
Sure, yeah.
Well, it took mine right up the whole crack, and basically in half, it's Match Mountain, and I had to sit in the water because I didn't want to get up and have my junk showing.
It ripped your shorts in half?
Ripped them like right up in half. I guess they were too old to be wearing.
I guess.
Man.
Were they jeans? Were you water sliding in jeans?
Yeah. I had swim shorts, but I had cut the netting out because it itches, so you know, I didn't have anything.
You'd hacked it all together, and
nice.
Then that comes apart. Good work.
Oh, when you're wearing a loincloth, Tarzan, eventually things are going to start showing.
Are you still sitting on the slide at the water park?
No, I finally got off.
You got the up,
lady
okay.
They brought me in town. They sold me some shorts at a discount.
I got you. All right.
Discount shorts. Thank but you got you in trouble in the first place.
That's right.
Spend a few bucks.
That's not where you ought to be skipping, man. That's what got you into this problem. That's a good point, Ralph.
All right. Let's go to Bob in Van Nuys. Good morning, Bob. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What it do, Kevin and Bean? Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Bob.
What it do?
I was wondering if you saw the quote of Paula Abdul in today's paper.
I did not.
No.
She didn't know her purpose in life until she became a judge on American Idol. Yeah. That her purpose is bringing out everybody's best and being that cheerful cheerleader to other people's success.
How about that?
Yeah, and all her problems that everybody thinks she's high on drugs and everything is because of her chronic neurological pain.
Yeah, we know that she has back pain, but she said she's never been high or she's never been drunk. That's hard to really believe from.
Oh, no. Not the way she looks on that show when I've seen her.
Although you can get pretty loopy on prescription pain
right.
medicine. It is possible that's all she's doing, that it's not drinking. It is possible.
But she's never said that either.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think if it affected you that much, it would cool it a little bit before you went on television?
Well, you would think, yeah, but that's not what happens, apparently. Yeah.
Hey, are you the coach of the Anaheim Ducks, by the way? I gotta ask you.
No.
Do you coach the Ducks? Is this the same dude?
Nope, not them.
Let me hear you say, get her done.
Get her done.
All right, hold on.
I like them French fried potatoes.
He had a little bit of that coach in him, though, did he?
Yeah, he did. Let's go to Davinda in San Diego.
Davinda.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do, Davinda?
What it do, baby boo?
Hello.
Is that really your name?
It is.
Okay. Why?
It's representing for Sri Lankan people.
It's okay. Representing what?
Sri Lankan.
Sri Lanka.
Hey! Oh, well, gotcha. Go Sri Lanka.
Yeah. Go Sri Lanka. What's going on?
I'm calling because the Nielsen people are coming to my house today.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, no kidding. You're getting one of those set box deals where they track what you watch? That's awesome.
I'm going to be a Nielsen family.
Fantastic.
And you know, I realize with great power comes great responsibility.
That's right. Correct. Yes, Spider-Man. Certainly.
I may have to quit my job and just focus on getting bad TV off and getting that good TV rated up.
Now, wait a minute. What is good and what's bad? Let's talk about that for 1 second.
You know, I don't know why NBC is so low rated. They got great shows, that Thursday night lineup. And
yes, those are good.
Yeah, watch
Heroes,
that.
Of course. But of course. Actually, Heroes is low. It should be higher.
You're right. Watch that.
But these shows are on, guys.
Do me a favor. Watch On the Lot, too, over there on Fox. Will you next week?
I will.
Because not a lot of people are watching that. I think it's a real good show.
That's good. Yeah. Do you have HBO or Showtime?
I do.
Okay, excellent. Does he get ratings for those, too?
Sure, I think so.
I guess you would, right?
I think so.
Okay.
What else can we have him watch?
Most of the good shows are off right now. That's part of the problem. I mean, they're
Don't watch Bingo Night.
No Bingo.
Don't watch So You Think You Can Dance.
Yes.
No.
Watch that.
Stay away from that.
Don't watch America's Got Talent.
Correct.
Right.
Let's
see. What else?
It's just a lot of don't watches now.
Yeah,
there's not
a
really
lot
a lot of
watches.
That last Comic Standing sometimes is okay.
Sometimes it's a funny show.
Don't watch The View.
Are they going to show like a repeat of The House and different shows like that are on normally at
they
that
might.
Time? Like Tuesday night?
I'm sure they'll rerun House. Yeah, they've been doing a lot of that.
Any Heroes? Any House?
It's going to be a busy summer.
Yeah,
it's
really bad.
It's tough.
They
to
hit
recommend.
You at, like in the valley of the TV season, really.
Well, he'll still have it come September.
Give the Stanley Cup some love too. By the way,
good. Yeah.
How long do they keep you tied up to that box?
My wife said it might be up to 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
All right, then you're our man.
You're a very important man.
You are our man.
5 years. What are they doing? Is it like a week enough for one person?
Well, no, because now, Kevin, they just they install it. You don't do anything. It just monitors whatever it is you watch. It's not like the old days where they had to pay you for 2 weeks
right.
to write down everything.
But you don't get a sense of what they're going to watch, say, in 6 months.
It does seem like it skews the ratings a little bit. The same guys are watching everything for 5 years.
5 years?
Wow. Dude. I wish I were me. I wish I were that dude.
Watch Entourage. Make sure you watch that,
Rescue Me's coming back.
Rescue Me's good on FX. Watch The Shield on FX. Yeah. That's great.
Deadliest Catch, if you get a chance, you got to watch that.
Tutors on Showtime.
Oh, Modern Marvels. Modern Marvels on History.
Shut up.
Modern Marvels.
The History Channel, Military Channel.
That's my boy.
All right.
Stories from the Kill Box on Discover Military.
Stories from the Kill Box.
That's not going to help us.
All right, I'm going to Davinda's house and taking his box away from him if he's one of Mike's people.
Congratulations, Davinda, on being a Nielsen family. It's a real treat.
That's cool. I wish I was one.
Tales from the Kill Box.
A couple years ago.
I like the Kill Box.
He likes the kielbasa is what he likes.
Yeah.
All right. I want to thank all of our guests on the show today, including former K-Rock sports guy Matt Money Smith. You can now hear him with our friend Petros Papadakis, who airs 4 to 7, I want to say, on AM 570 weekday afternoons. Also, thanks to Seth Rogen for joining us, too. Very funny young man. His movie is called Knocked Up, and that co-stars Katherine Heigl. That one opens up everywhere tomorrow.
Then watch Sitting on the Back of the Kill Bus. That's good. Martin. Then you go reaching into your kill wallet. That's another good show.
While you're doing that voice, why don't you tell people about Psycho Buddy tomorrow?
Tomorrow I will be teaching you how to get pumped, how to get fit, how to lose weight, and to get massive cannonball delts like me. The Psycho Buddy tomorrow.
It's tomorrow morning.
I'm Psycho Mike.
Plus, Drew, the guy that does Fark.com, he's got a new book out called It's Not News, It's Fark. We're going to talk to him. We're going to give away that motorcycle, Mike Ness's custom Triumph motorcycle. Give that away tomorrow at 7:15. We got the movie beat because it's Friday morning, and we have tickets, speaking of movies, to the MTV Movie Awards this weekend.
All right.
Yes, Sunday night at 8 o'clock, hosted by our friend Sarah Silverman. So we got those that you can win tomorrow. And Ralph, tomorrow the final pairs of passes for Ocean's 13 for the Hollywood premiere of the red carpet and all the stars, right?
I'm not sure if they're the finals or not. We might be giving some out next week, too. I don't know about that. But I will have more, that's for sure.
Certainly have some tomorrow.
Yes.
Fantastic. All that tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kat Corbett's up next. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock means new social D called Far Behind. Also, how about some Sublime, System of a Down, The Killers, Rage Against the Machine, and so much more next after this on K-Rock.
And a new song from Killbox.